Okay, thus talking about the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, about Achrayas Anas, let's call it, right? Says the Rambam again, Akum Anas Shehifti Pchimso Chotral, and Yodea Yisoshim Abed, and Nigna Machaibo Mashalmo, Gofeva Unso Mashalim, Afish Lokibel Achrayas, Harizan Chaibo Varo, Shari Nechshav Kilu Shalom, Nesha Machaibo Anas, but for you. So, okay, so where did the Rambam get this idea from? That even if the Jew has no legal obligation of Achrayas, he just has a, the guy's going to force him to pay for it if anything happens. He obviously had it from our sugya, from the B'nei Chela. He's Medayik from the Lashon of B'nei Chela. Why B'nei Chela? Okay, you could have said B'nei Chela is just the, happened to be the case, but if you look at the Lashon, he talks about how Ilumikta v'ilumita v'ubaitu l'shlume. Doesn't say you agreed to pay your chayt v'op din. He says you're going to have to pay. Right, so the Rambam understood from our sugya, from Ravin Me'mechuza, that even if Christ will be honest, the Ravid brings stira from other soldiers in the second parak, and all of the Nosei Kehilah go back and forth. What do you think about the other soldiers? What do you think about our soldier? I don't think the real reason the Ravid objects is because of the soldiers of Rabbi Nachman in the second parak, who's Chametz's mutter. I think the reason the Ravid objects is because he just doesn't think it's a logical idea. Who cares that someone's going to, that someone's going to steal from you later, right? If I say, you know, if X, Y, and Z happens, I'm going to steal money from you later. That doesn't give you any halachic status. That just means that later I'll steal money from you. And you can't say that the fact that I threaten to steal money from you in the future gives you a halachic status now. And he just thinks it's not logical because al pi din, you have no connection to this chametz. The question is, what is the Rambam going to answer the Ravid? If here the Ravid says, we're talking about Achrayas of an ass, right? The guy is a strong man. So says the Ravid Potter, and what's the reason? Because there's no relationship to the Chametz Al-Pidin. The question is, what's the Rambam going to answer him? Taka, the Ravid, has a good point. Al-Pidin, I have nothing to do with Al Pidin. I have nothing to do with this chametz, right? Al Pidin, this chametz, I have no achrayus for whatsoever. There is no achrayus Al Pidin. Oh, you're going to steal from me. The fact that you threatened to steal from me if A, X, Y, and Z happened, what's it? But let's say you say I'm going to steal from you if Biden wins the election. I'm going to steal from you if Trump wins the election. Okay, that's your decision whether you want to steal from me or not. That doesn't change my halachic status. So, what's the Rambam going to answer the Ravid? It does.
At the end of the day, you're going to be watching that. You're going to have a certain possession over it in order that you don't have the money to pay.
Okay, clearly, in the end of the day, I am going to have a financial stake in this object, even if the financial stake is not all put in. I would divide the, right? What are you going to say? Yeah? Okay, so maybe the Machlosi and the Rambam and the Ravid is something, the theme that's been pervasive for the first few plot of Maseches Pesachim. By Rabbi Yimotze, are we talking about Lecha, right? When we say Lecha, Shalcha, Taro, Yataro, Shalcha, again, if not for Shalcha, it would just mean no chametz be in your house and just has to do with geographical proximity. But it's all about Lecha, right? It's all about your relationship to the chametz. It's by Rabbi Yimotze about your halachic formal relationship with the chametz. It can't be chametz of chalos of belonging to you, or chalos of achrayus to you, or is it all subjective? Why? Because keep in mind, I wouldn't have said it's all subjective on my own. But given that shnei dvarim ein b'rishus shalom ne'asana chazakilu b'rishus on anyway, given that no one has a formal halachic legal relationship even with their own chametz that they've owned their whole life, because shnei dvarim b'rishus shalom. And it's just Hassan HaKasakilu so, and says the Ramban, when he's explaining, Ramban and all those who follow him, the Ramban's the beginning of this school of thought, in explaining how Bittul works. Remember, unlike Tosos of regular Hefker, and unlike those who interpret Rashi, which is perhaps only a bunch of Yeshim Farshis, as an actual change in the Heftza, in terms of the Shem Ochel, it's all about, as the Ramban says, Rotsu B'Kilu. Shnei Dvarim Einu B'Shusu Shal Adam Aval Asana Kasa B'Shusu because he's Rotsav Kiyumo, it's about your subjective relationship with the Chayfetz, then the Rambam has a very good point. The Rambam says, let me put together this whole thing. What does it mean, lo yimatzeh? What are they darshan lo yimatzeh? Right? Lo yimatzeh means not lo yimatzeh to be physically found. Right? We'll see at the end of the sugya. I think we might have read that far. A little later, matzui l'cha, right? The point is that it's not about the formal status of the chametz, it's about your psychological, subjective relationship to the chametz. Let's call it rotsav kiyumo. I'm not necessarily saying it's the same as the rotsav kiyumo phrase mentioned in the Masechet Avodah Zarah. There's a long pre-kaddash that discusses that, based on Shulchan Aruch. But it's that you have a stake in it. You relate to it as something important, as something that is valuable to you. If the whole point is subjective and psychological anyway, it's all about your roots of kiyumo, to use the words of the Ramban. On the one end, that explains the kula of bittul. How does bittul work? Bittul, by the time the Ramban discussed it, as opposed to toso sudime, has no formal halachic status according to the normal rules of Choshen Mishpat or the normal rules of Taros. But it's subjectively, I am not invested in this. So the flip side of that is a chora. Achrayas machmas anas. Even though it has absolutely no halachic status, the fact that you might steal money from me in the future if X, Y, and Z happens normally has no halachic status, right? If I lose this baseball game, I'm going to go burn your house down. It doesn't give me any halachic relationship to this baseball game. That's just your decision to be a criminal in certain circumstances. But in this case, I view it as my chametz. After all, what's the difference if legally I'm responsible to pay if anything happens to it and I have to watch it, or practically I'm responsible if they have to watch it? It's all about my subjective relationship to the chametz. That is the simple way to understand the Rambam. Says the Rambam that, why you chayav? Rambam clearly says chayav, because by your rabbi you must say is all about my subjective relationship to the chametz. Now again, I might have thought it's only subjective relationship if I want to keep it for myself. But once lo yimatzeh teaches me it's even the subjective relationship of me needing to take care of it because it's worth money to me because I'm responsible, then there's no reason it should make a difference whether I'm responsible al pi din or whether I'm responsible al pi practical life. That would create a tremendous nafka mina, which is the big chumra, which, you know, we're not ready to fully analyze halacha l'maaseh yet, of the nesivos. I think the Nesiva is the one who started this whole conversation. Ruba du Ruba Vachronim accepted this point of the first half of the Nesiva, which we're going to discuss now, not necessarily the second half of the Nesiva. The Nesiva in his book, Har Chaim, I think is the first one who says this, points out that everyone thinks there's only one halachic possible problem with our Mechiras Chametz. He puts out there are two halachic problems with our Mechiras Chametz. One problem with our Mechiras Chametz, which we're not going to deal with now, is, or not fully, you know, is the old question, the same question about Heter Mechira and Shemitah, and the same question about Heter Iska, and the same question about Mechiras Bechor, and a million other things, which is, I mean, each one with their own details. How do we know you're serious? You know, maybe you don't really mean it, and the Dogmir Stas is not a valid sale. Okay, that's a classic question, and that's a question you could ask on a million different halachic things. Sometimes might be a more common question, sometimes might be a more cal question, you know, some things. No, I likely hit as I do mean it. Okay, but let's assume we can get over that problem, right? That's not his hop here, right? Let's assume that we can say, no, after all, legal transactions are legal transactions. You can't say I didn't mean it. When someone does a legal transaction, they have no right to say they don't mean it, or I'm just leaving them to varin, and not to mention the fact that Tosfos in a few places says, we assume Jews don't want to be over Yisurim, and that defines their das and dini mamonos. After all, I really do want to sell my chametz, because hey, it's very nice, I have $500 worth of chametz. Not having chametz on Pesach is more important to me than $500. Okay, I guess the question is, what does the guy really want to buy the chametz? Okay, let's assume the guy, you know, he's mischayef himself, he knows what he's doing, etc. Let's assume they really need to do it. Says the Nesivos, there's a bigger problem with Mechiras Chametz. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch like the Rambam as opposed to the Raifid. Okay, it's a big machlokes rishonim. You can list all the rishonim on one side and all the rishonim on the other side, which I think we might have put on the board last time. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Rambam, says we pass like the Rambam, Yesh Omer like the Ravid, the assumption is we hold like the Rambam. On this machlokes, the Mishnah Brura quotes that most of the Achronim pass like the Rambam, so we paskin like the Rambam. By now. So the problem is this. Who's responsible for this chametz? So let's think about it. I sold my chametz to a guy. It's in my, you know, my machsan. I have $500 worth of chametz in my machsan that I sold to a guy. Okay, who has achrayus for it? So don't worry if you ever read the contract where the rabbi sells the chametz to the guy. In the contract, it says explicitly, the Jew has no achrayus whatsoever for the contract. Only the guy has achrayus for the contract. For the chametz, only the guy has achrayus for the chametz. Meaning, let's see what this means. I sold the, what's the guy? Let's call the guy Christian. Okay. I sold my guy to my chametz Christian for $500. Now he owns the chametz and he owes me $500. Who's responsible? What's he going to do? After Pesach, I'll buy the chametz back for him for $500 and we'll be even. But who's responsible for the chametz meanwhile? What if chas v'shalom there's a flood or a fire or etc. Something happens to the chametz? I take no achrayus. It says so. Mefurish baruch mechatana in the contract. I have no achrayus whatsoever. He has all the achrayus. What does that mean? If anything happens to the chametz during Pesach, I don't suffer a loss. He suffers a loss. Meaning, if the chametz gets burnt down in a fire during Pesach, I don't lose the $500. He loses the $500. He still has to pay me $500 after Pesach. And it's his fault that it got burned down, not mine. It's his. I sold him things for $500. It's his fault it got burned down, not mine. So I took no achrayus. Therefore, he still owes me $500. So it all looks great in the contract. You know, if you're a Raven man, sugya is over. It's coming to the guy that the Jew has no achrayus for. What's the only problem? I don't know if anyone in this room is so naive. If you are, then it's beautiful, but you better just tell your wife to check everything you do before you get into trouble with your naivete. Which is, do you really think if that chametz gets burnt down over Pesach, the guy is going to give you $500 after Pesach? Right? He owes you $500. It's his chametz. Right? He owes you $500. He's going to pay you that $500. It says, if the chametz gets burnt down, he'll pay you $500. Is he really going to pay you $500? Raise your hand if you think he's going to pay you $500 if something happens to that chametz over Pesach. Of course not. Pasha not. What's going to happen after Pesach? After Pesach, he's not going to give you anything, and you're going to keep whatever chametz is left. Meaning, befoal, who really has a chrayus on the chametz? Who's really going to lose money if anything happens to the chametz? You have a chrayus on the chametz. Because there's $500 worth of Pesach. If it's intact, you'll get it back after Pesach. And if not, then you won't get it back after Pesach, and you'll lose the money. The guy's not going to lose any money. It says in the contract he'll lose the money. But really, there's no chance he's going to lose any money for so many reasons. A, go prove how much chametz was there in court. Go prove in court that it was really serious. Even if a halacha ruling says it's really serious, go try to prove that in a court of law. You know, go get the rabbi to agree to make the guy give you $500 and then ruin it for next year for the whole community, et cetera, et cetera. There's no chance the guy is going to have a chrayus for this chametz. You have full chrayus for the chametz. And if you think about it, imagine you told someone, you know, oh, you put all your chametz in the garage for Pesach, sold it to a guy. Ah, there's a flood in the garage. There's, you know, some pipe burst, etc. All that stuff is going to get ruined. It's worth $500. The guy's really going to think, oh, well, that's the guy's problem, not mine. There's no mitzvah seva shows paid for a guy. It's not my problem. I don't have to worry about it. Right? No way. The guy's going to say, I just lost $500. Because this is my chametz. I sold the guy. But it's my, what do you mean, my chametz? It's my chametz, then it's worth money to me and not worth money to him. Everyone knows that armich yiras chametz, the Jew has 100% responsibility for the chametz, not LP did, LP reality, and the guy has 0% responsibility. That is exactly what the Kabbalah Stas says. He says that, I mean, the Makor Chaim, the Nesivas on Hilchos Pesach, he says that, you know, you don't have to have yiras chametz, even before yiras chametz. Let's say the guy owed you money, and the only thing he had that you collect from is this chametz, and it's in your house. He owed you $500, and it's due on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and all he has that you can get paid from, Apotki Mefurish, The only thing he can pay you from is his chametz, and he puts it in your house, and it happens to you for $500. So he says that, okay, practically, this is your chametz. This is worth money to you. And likewise, that's the case. This guy owes you $500. He'll give you back the chametz if it's intact. He's not giving you back cash. No way, no how. So this chametz is worth money to you. We all know that if you stopped an average Orthodox Jew, there's a leak in the garage, he'd say, I'm losing money. Okay, so says the Chavos Das, therefore this Bali Rabbi Matzeh, because we hold like the Rambam, the Rabbi would say, no problem. The Rabbi would say, no, what do you mean? He owes you $500. He's going to pay you that $500 if anything happens to the chametz. The fact that he'll steal but not pay, that's Lomana did. But we pass like the Rambam, therefore says the Chavos Das, an hour with Firas Chametz, says the Makar Chaim, and Sivas Chavos Das, same person, says Makar Chaim, and Rov Achronin, he says, it counts as Kabbalas Achrayas of the Jewish owner of the Jew. Right? The Jew was Makabal Achrayas, but I'll be honest, he was Makabal Achrayas. That's the Chavos Das, and therefore he really cast aspersions are on our entire our entire mechanism of Mechiras Chametz, even if you say the Mechiras Chal, but still the onus the Jew has Achrayas, and therefore since we pass like the Rambam, it's Osir. I had one to Achron once to have, you know, we pass like the Rambam, but didn't wash. We Lamai, so we pass like the Rambam.
Rabbi, okay. Would that be true even if he's very naive? It's true.
Yes, because that's an interesting question, because how subjective to make it. I mean, what if this Jew really, really believes that he doesn't have a chrayis, and that the guy is going to pay him the money? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think any Jews are really so naive. Jews have good business sense. But I don't know. It's a good question. You might be right. But let's assume most of us are not so naive. Now.
It seems like this issue is
meaning, if it would have been a real sale that the guy was really investing and understood it as a business venture, etc., then the guy would pay you the money if it got burnt down. But that's never going to happen. Right? I mean, that's what I mean. The fact is, Arami, you could say means there's no clear stuff, there's never a sale. But okay, that we can handle. Or you could say the fact is, Arami means even though it was a sale, the buyer is going to own this. And that's for sure. Who argues on the Chavos Das? The Chay Adam argues on the Chavos Das. Chay Adam, Elochus Pesach, and the Nishmas Adam. The Nishmas Adam is not what it is in Hilchos Shabbos, like the little footnotes with the Unum and the Chai Adam. Here, there's just one Nishmas Adam beginning Hilchos Pesach with a few Shilas. And he says here, he explicitly takes on the Mekor Chaim, Lefiza Nirali, the last paragraph of the Nishmas Adam, the Afilo Machalo Chomitz Levad, the Log of Tarka, but Nochmi Nosel Rak Oifgab, even if the guy didn't pay you all the money up front. If the guy paid you money up front, then it would be his problem if it got burnt down. But that never happens. He only gave you a dollar deposit. The fact that you want the chametz to exist, that's pasha, that's not really the problem. The imi shom kol shikos ma'gon ba'al chavos das v'sim and tof men, the medamaz el nachri ilim, the chayim levar le'as shofan arsam, here's a forcible achrayis, nir legal odami. Okay, what is he saying here? He thinks it's not a good taina. Why? Even according to the Rambam, it's not considered achrayis. The bishlam of nachri shehivkid chem soli Yisrael, the imkein uber shos Yisrael, granted, if a guy who's mafkid is chametz to Yisrael, and then it's pershus to Yisrael, avgav gol kibbal achrayis, even though the Yisrael didn't accept achrayis, because makom came and shu ilaim, the kofei l'shal.
Alim,
right, and ilaim.
Alim,
came and shu alim, I mean, no one here is alim, okay. Came and shu alim, l'chor, you would have to have some vocalization like that. Came and shu alim, there, the guy bought a kedin, kesef for shtar, mischai b'din l'shalim, but then he has to pay. It's not like the case of the Rambam. Over here, he bought it. If he refuses to pay later, that's not your problem. Kasher tovet arayinu shalom meyavor. And when it gets, so what does he say? He says that if the guy refuses to pay later, that's a problem that comes up later. So it says right now, it's the guy's chametz, and nothing happened to it. And so it's no by Rabbi Matze. If it would get destroyed, then there's no chametz. No by Rabbi Matze, no problem. Okay, in what nekuda is the Chai Adam arguing on the Makor Chaim here? How does he understand the Rambam in a way that he thinks the Rambam doesn't apply here? The Rambam is only if apikadon he forces you to take achrayus over here. You sold it kedasu kedin. Okay, why does he think the Rambam wouldn't apply here? What's he trying to say? So it's not 100% clear, right, what he's trying to say here. By the way, I would just point out that subjectively, if you really view the Rambam as being your subjective frame of mind, then not only is the Nesivos right, that this is as bad as the Rambam's case of Kabbalas Achrayas of Goy Anas, it's much worse. The Goy Anas Kabbalas Achrayas, Mamish, it seems to you, you're not really responsible. It seems to you like you're responsible for it, like you care about, like you have a stake in this, like you have an investment in this. In our case, it seems to you like you're coming to the Gamri. I bet if you went over to your average Orthodox Jew and you didn't warn him that you're having a conversation, etc., and you said, I hear something dripping in the garage. You should check on your chametz. You'd say, oh, I got to go check on my chametz. Not only does it seem like it's responsible, but he actually feels like it's his, even though he knows he sold the chametz. And he knows he sold the chametz, but you feel like it's yours. But obviously, the Chai Adam disagrees. What's the disagreement with Chai Adam?
I think he's saying one case that's actually legal and in our case,
the law is they can steal from you. The law is not you can steal from you.
Or at least it's accepted that this guy's with.
And in that case, it was accepted that Goyim soldiers could steal from Jews, but in our days, it's not accepted that Goyim who buy chametz can steal from Jews. I don't know. I think everyone except this guy wouldn't really have to pay any money in the contract. I'm not convinced. So I think... What? In our case, he's just stealing the money. And in that case...
He's holding you responsible to pay or whatever.
He's holding you responsible to pay. Okay, I would say it a little... maybe even a little sharper. Because, I mean... he doesn't say here. What does he say? He knows that he takes our gemara literally. If it's lost or stolen, he will make you pay. Right? I think that the difference is... I don't know if Feivel will agree with me exactly, that in that case, it was Akom Ana Shehifkid Chemtso Eitzel Yisrael. There was a relationship of Mafkid V'Nifkad. There was a relationship of Shmira. In that case, there is some actual formal halachic basis for relationship, which is Shmira. Because you got Pikdonos Menagoyim. In that case, you accepted the shmira, the bikadim from a guy. You accepted shmira, the bikadim. You didn't necessarily accept the achrayis. He's forcing you to take the achrayis. Okay, the achrayis is a detail. The achrayis is a detail. But fundamentally, you do have a kabbalas bikadim from the guy. What does a bikadim mean? I'm giving it over to you. Here, the guy gave the chametz over to you. You accepted the chametz from the guy. And Rami, he didn't accept the achrayis. He's forced you to take the achrayis. The achrayis are just forced, but the achrayis is a detail. There's some real concrete halachic basis for this. You took a pikadon. You agreed to take a pikadon from a guy. Maybe you agreed to take a pikadon from a guy under duress. Maybe you agreed to take a pikadon from a guy willingly. You just didn't accept the achrayis willingly. But you agreed to take a pikadon. In the case of Mechiras Chametz, I think what he's saying is that you sold the chametz to a guy, and you never agreed to be a shomer in this chametz. You never agreed to accept this chametz as a pikadon. It happens to be that because of the nature of this funny transaction, you know that the guy is going to indirectly hold you responsible for it. But it's not mitzad shmira. The guy's never going to say, right? The guy's not going to say, you were a shomer. As a shomer, I'm holding you responsible. There's no debt. It doesn't matter. I think as a shomer, I'm holding you responsible because you were supposed to be a shomer on my property. You accepted my property. No. The guy's just going to say, I don't know, this whole contract was sort of funny to start with. I was just doing the rabbi a favor. Give me a break. Why should I lose money for this? right? He's not holding responsible mitzad shmira in our mechiras chametz. That's for sure. You ask the guy, why didn't you pay this yid? Why didn't you pay Reuven $500 for the chametz you bought from him that was destroyed? He wouldn't say, well, because Reuven was in charge of it and it's, you know, his fault it was destroyed. He would say, because what are you talking about? I'm not supposed to lose money here. Give me a break. And I think that's ultimately the difference. It's not that it's all about your subjective relationship to the chametz. Rather, you could say, because it's a real shmira relationship. Right? Just like Rav Chanan said, that what's the difference between pshia and gnev aveda? The difference between pshia and gnev aveda is whether it's based on my relationship to this chefetz legally, or whether it's just based on the pool I do or don't do. Meaning, over here, it's a real shmira relationship. You became a shomer. You are a shomer on the chametz. And a chametz, you have raya shalom and a did. But you're still a shomer. You're still a chalo shomer on the chametz. I don't mean how you feel. You feel like you're always responsible to guard something, etc. But I mean, what does he say here? Akum ana shehifgid chemtso eitzel Yisrael. Okay, the achray is shalom and a did. But the hifgid chemtso, the idea that you accepted to be kadon, is minadid. Is you actually are accepted to be kadon. Shehifgid chemtso. As opposed to in our case, you did not accept the pikadon from the guy. It says explicitly in the contract, I am not accepting this pikadon. I have no relationship with it whatsoever. Yes, psychologically, I might feel like I'm an owner and I have the stake, but legally, there's no basis whatsoever. Maybe even the Rambam's not so far from the Raivin. It's a real shmir relationship. You're a shomer on the chametz. Okay, what kind of shomer? So it's nine shomers that you have to have a certain level of achrayas, and that level of achrayas could be minadin or shalom minadin. But there really is an objective shmira on the chametz, and maybe the machlok between the mesivas and the chayi adam is how much does the Rambam disagree with the Raivid? How great is the divergence between the Rambam and the Raivid? The Raivid says we don't care about how you feel, we don't care about what it seems like, we don't care about whether your money's really at stake or not. We care about do you have a halachic status copy this chametz. The Rambam might say, no, Bagos is truly subjective. Look, it's ain't nothing's pursued. So anyway, it's all about roads of Yilmo. It's all about how you feel. Or that's the Makor Chaim. And most Achronim, I admit, but the Chai Adam is Matzdik Armachimus Chametz, right? So he's good to look for ways to Matzdik Armachimus Chametz. This would be the first way. The second way will be based on the second half of the of Makor Chaim, which we'll get to hopefully next year. But to Matzdik Armachimus Chametz, you can say, no, the Rambam also agrees it has to do with your formal relationship. You need a formal, objective relationship of Shemira. You need some objective relationship. Start with, oh, it's Ainu B'Shusho Adam. Yes, but the Torah only made it Kilo B'Shusho if you start with some objective relationship. The objective relationship is ownership, if we don't let the Yirah L'cha, based on what you must say. So, or Sa'ar, it's ownership or Shemira, because a Shomer is taking something into his Rishos, just like an owner takes something into his Baibus. And the level of Achrayos is a T'nai, which can be fulfilled, obviously fulfilled in the negative way. Okay, this statement also is lost if you want to look it up. Bein al-Pidin, Bein Shalom al-Pidin. Yeah, the detail of how much Achrayos do you have for the Shemira, that could be al-Pidin, that could be law al-Pidin, but there's an objective basis of Shemira. From here we get the Chayi Adam, who says, no, it's not like Kabbalah Achrayus, and therefore, if you assume that when people sign a contract, they're committing themselves, they mean it, Dvarim Shavleit Einam Dvarim, even though it's a harama, when you sign a contract, you sign a contract, and it's a legal chalos, the fact that the Jew's going to end up being responsible, and the guy is not really going to live up to what it says there, doesn't change the fact that the guy really intended to buy something, that you really intended to sell something. The fact that the guy has an escape hatch where he's not going to end up taking the price, it says, that doesn't change the fact that it's a Kenyan, and the fact that the Jew feels like it's his and feels like it's his money and not anyone else's money doesn't change anything because he has no objective relationship with Chametz. If you're willing to say the Rambam did not 100% disagree with the Raivet, but only disagree on one detail with the Raivet. And that's even though, you know, I wish he had said it very clearly, starting from Rambam and the Ravid, I think that's obviously what the Chayyadim is trying to say. Yeah, no, Kabbalah Samurai said Tanai, that even if it's the Pikadon, since we say, had the Kibbalah Christ, had a little Kibbalah Christ, the fact that you accept the Pikadon is not enough, you also need to have some financial stake. But that financial stake, that doesn't have to be Alpidin. Once you have a relationship Alpidin, the gather, how strong that relationship is, that's being Alpidin, Mitchell Alpidin. No, there's no Kabbalah Samurai. It says, before the Jew is not accepting this Chametz of Pikadon. It's the guy's own problem. The Jew has nothing to do with it. Right, so I think it does not, because there is such a thing called Habeis HaKamach, which means that, put your stuff in my house, but I'm not a shomer on it. Right, so it's such... I'm not even a shomer. I'm not even a chayv. I'm shia. I'm not even a chalo shomer in any way, shape, or form. I'm not a shomer. I mean, let me just give you an obvious example. Let's say you find my door open, walk into my house, and leave your wallet there. I'm not a shomer on it, right? Just your property in my house doesn't mean that I am a shomer. Obviously, in a lot of cases, it's ambiguous in real life. If I say, do what you want, does that mean I'm being a shomer? Not, okay, but if I explicitly say it, I'm not a shomer, then I think I'm not a shomer. Correct. By the B'nai Chela, there was, and because he's reading the Lashon of the Rambam, Akam Ana Shehifkid Chemzo Eitzel Yisrael. It doesn't say Shechemzo Nimzo Beis Yisrael. It says Shehifkid Chemzo Eitzel Yisrael. So I think that's what he's working off. He doesn't say that. Shehifkid Chemzo Eitzel Yisrael. He doesn't start with Chamech Shal Akam Beis Yisrael Im Yadua. Right? He could have said that. Right? He could have said, right, which is Perek Dalet Halacha Beis. Instead, he said Akam Ana Shehivkin Chemzo Eitzel Yisrael. Now, yeah, he could have not made a big deal of it, but the simple shot is there is something objective called Hivkin here, right? That's the Chiddush. This is a Chiddush. There's Chomichel Akam Eitzel Yisrael is Mutter, and then there is Akam Shehivkin Chemzo Eitzel Yisrael. In Kibbalah Bechrayis is Usher. So there's Eitzel Yisrael and there's Hifkid Eitzel Yisrael. So you might have said, Hifkid Eitzel Yisrael is just a way of saying Achrayis. And really, either there's Achrayis Benedin or there isn't. But maybe with the Chayadim's reading, it's a Chiddush. And probably he's just trying to be Matzdik our Mechiris Chametz, or maybe he thought it was a good Svara. Then no, there's Eitzel Yisrael and there's Hifkid. Then within Hifkid, and there's a Tanai of Kabbalah Achrayis. But you need to start with an objective Hifkid. And that is an objective hifkid, and therefore it's a different kind of achrayis. What do I mean by tanai achrayis? If he is mafkid by me, even if the achrayis is only because I know he's going to make me pay shalal pidin, he's going to gazel me. Nonetheless, that affects the nature of the hifkid. If it starts without a hifkid, then if I know he's going to gazel me later, then that's, as it says, then later, I'll worry about it when the time comes. That has no effect on me now, because there's no objective relationship that it could be coloring. Okay, so this is a very, very important afghamina.
Rebbe, isn't our minhag to be maskir the place to maskir the Malkum
Kuzo? I said that's the second half of the Makor Chaim. He says, well, maybe we have a heter because of yichad lo bias on the Bavam and Aleph, because we're maskir the fed to him, and he thinks that's not a good half term. We'll have to see whether why we disagree with him. Okay,
so that is not. But what I meant is then it's not maskir deitzel Yisrael b'chalal.
Good. Because we say I'm renting you the room, etc. That makes it very, very clear that you're not maskir deitzel Yisrael. I'm renting you the room. You're not maskir deitzel me at all. Okay, good. Even though we'll have to see that becomes a little complicated on Daf Bava and Aleph. Okay, we'll get back to it. Let us move Vayter in the Gemara then. Ask the Gemara. The last line. Ha nichu mandar redover gon lamam kamam adami. Elo mandar alav gon mandar meiflamei. Where this makes sense if Rav Shimon Shita all over Shas. Things I have a financial stake in is as if I own them. So if I'm responsible for gon lamam, gets lost, I'll lose money. If I'm responsible for this chametz, then it's like mine. Then it makes sense. But what if you hold like the chachamim that dover gon lamam lav kamam adami? No shani hav dover lo yimat, say, no, I understand usually davar on the moment laf kamam davar. Here it's a serious kasuk lo yimat, say, that bedonus benakamar aser, even though normally davar on the moment is not ke mamon davar. Right? And again, a nice way of viewing Rambam, Raivin, etc. could be, what is this kamashlan, right? The Slach, I think, has not the main line I want to point out, but he said, okay, but maybe you could say, so what's the kamashlan? Is the kamashlan that here, dover gone the moment, kamaman dummy, and as long as legal, you have a gore in the moment relationship with it, then it's kamaman dummy, that would be the right fit. Or no, over here, lo yimatse, it's all that matters that matsoi, is it found by you? And if it's found, regardless of the halachic status, then you're chayev, that would be the rama. Okay, but let's, now I want to talk about the flip side of the coin. The pasuk needs to darshan lo yimatze. So actually, that makes sense. If davar garon lamam, the brisa needs to darshan lo yimatze. If davar garon lamam is normally lav kamam dami, then we need to darshan lo yimatze to answer it here. Elman darik kamam dami lo yimatze normally, but if you hold davar garon lamam kamam dami kol tar kula davar garon lamam kamam dami. So why do you need lo yimatze? Should have just said lo yiralacha. Yours is also guys is mutter, but davar garon lamam is kamam dami kol tar kula. That's a kasha the Achronim ask on the Rambam. Kasha the Achronim ask on the Rambam is maybe need lo yimotze le rabos achray shalom and adin. Right.
And then also, when
it comes
to the say it's in the
comics, but
the same
Shah Ram
says, oh no, here,
everything's
fine, because
I guess. Right. So you have to say one of two things. Either you have to say this all in the Havamina, the Maskana, it's all different. This within the Havamina, maybe within the Havamina, the Ram wouldn't have said what he said. He only saying in the next line of the Mara, the Maskana. Or you could say, no, they're not asking in general, they're asking a very, very local point here. Regular case of Bikadam Ba'achrayas, not continuing off Nechelo, it's saying, why do you need, the price it sounds like you need lo yimatze even for the regular Bikadam Ba'achrayas. That you shouldn't need for a Shema. So either, again, you could say, why are they asking? Isn't this a new din? So either this is a new din, but they're only asking about the old part of the new din, about the case of regular Kabbalah Sachrayas, or you could say they didn't know it was a new din until the next line. What's the next line? I might have thought that since as long as it's intact, you return it to the guy, therefore it's not called Gover Lamamim, and it's not yours, even according to Rav Shimon Olds Kamamadami, Kamashwan, it's the Wasser. Okay, what's the Gemara saying here? I mean, every Gover Gover Lamamim Kamamadami is Ki'isei Hadereina. Right? Meaning, the whole point of every Gover Lamamim is that if nothing happens to it, then I give it to the rightful owner. It's only if something happens to it, I'm responsible. So what is the Gemara mean to say? So I don't think there's any other possibility than to interpret like Rashi here. Says Rashi, what it means is this. Dover Gran Lamamaka Mamadami means when something happens to your property that's Gorim Mamun to me, then it's as if it was my property. When the damage happens and the Gram Lamamun happens, then it's Kamamadami. But while everything's sitting Beshekhar Beshalva and nothing happened yet, then it's not kamamadami. Makes a lot of sense. Meaning, I'm responsible for your pikadum. I'm responsible for the nail's pikadum. When that pikadum gets burnt down in a fire, and now I have to pay, now it's like my money. But when there's no fire, and a normal case, there's no fire, it's just sitting there all Pesach. When it's just sitting there, minding its own business, it's the nail's, it's going to go back to him, I actually have nothing to do with it. Just because I might have to pay someday, doesn't mean it's my money now. It's my money when it gets damaged. Then it's mine because I'm suffering the loss. But until it gets damaged, no davar gan lamamim. Meaning, what's the chiddush? Davar gan lamamim kamamadami doesn't apply until the hefsed happens, until the nezek happens. This would fit very well. The rivet, for example, you know, it's a big, big discussion. I didn't want to get into it. Those who learn Maruba, I don't think anyone here learned Maruba with me. Elio's learned Maruba with me. Back in the 90s, but I don't think I ever taught Maruba in Gross. But there's a big discussion there in the already starting from Tosos near the beginning of the Perek, and everyone, what's the relationship between Dina de, between Dina de Garmi, which means that we pass like Rav Meir that you're high for indirect damage, and Dover Gron Lamamadami, which means that if I damage your money, but you're the one who has to pay, then it's as if I damaged you. Seems very similar. Okay, big discussion there, which really surrounds this point. I just don't want to get into all of Ruga. I'll just point out, there is a pithy line in the Ravid here who says, how many, he says, I think Halach L'maisa we should paskin like Rav Shimon, Dover Gron Lamamadami. Why? Because because Dina Dover Gorum Shayach Medina de Garmi. Because this is like Dina de Garmi, meaning he views Dover Gron Lamamadami as about indirect damage. Right? And therefore, since we passed it like Ramir to Don Dina de Garmi, which means you have to pay for indirect damage, okay, without getting into the fact that the Gemara says Grum is Potter, okay, we have shown him whether it means that Grum is very indirect damage is Potter, we paskin relatively direct, half indirect, half direct damage is Garmi is Chayev, and all the different shitas have Magra that, or whether many Rishonim who say we actually paskin Grum is Chayev, but it doesn't matter. He says Garmi is about me indirectly damaging, Dover Gron Lamon about indirect damage, and it's all about how indirect damage counts as damage, indirect Nezek counts as Nezek, that's Garmi, Dover Gron Lamon, it's all one big deal. And therefore, says the Ravid, he has many nafkaminas, like Grumma de Grumma would be Putter and Dover Gron Lamamadami. What's he saying? Dover Gron Lamamadami is not about ownership. It's about damage. It's about Hezek. Dover Gron Lamamadami means a Hezek to this property is a Hezek to whoever it causes a loss of money to. It's not about who owns the property when it's attacked. It's about the Hezek. That's how it has to do with Dina de Garmi, right? The Ravid is would be very, very happy with the conclusion of our Gemara. And the conclusion of our Gemara, I'll point out, seems, you know, seems a little inescapable. We're analyzing the Mandar. We're not interested right now in the Mandar Kamomadami. We're interested in the Mandar Kamomadami. There's only one line here about Mandar Kamomadami. And what does it say? It says he only applies when damage happens, not when it's intact. Okay, that sounds like it's not a din of ownership. It's a din of hezek. It's not that if I have a financial stake in something, I own it. Rather, it's a din that if someone's mazik, they're mazik me. And that's exactly what the Ravid is saying. When it's the same rule as Dina de Garmi. It's basically the same rule as Dina de Garmi, which is not about ownership. It's about attributing hezek. And that's what seems to come out of our Gemara. I know you can always say we don't pass like our Gemara. But that's what seems to come out of our Gemara. What's the famous Kasha Liktsos? The famous Kasha Liktsos, that's that Soser, at least two other Makoros. Right? So let's, here. Says Rav Shimon, Dover Hagorin Lamamon, Kimamon Dami, what's the problem? On the one hand, we have Psachim, Dafavam and Aleph, which says that it's a din of Nezikin, not vitals. Right? It means the Nezik, when it happens to the person who loses the money. I can't say I didn't damage you. You were just coincidentally lost money. I damaged you. Indirect damage is damage. Dina de Garmi. But it doesn't mean you owned it all along. No. As long as nothing happens, you didn't own it. The owner owned it. Right? However, what do we see in Sahedrin Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, I think, by the time we get to this? That, what does it say? If you have kerbonos in an Ir HaNidachas, right? We know all the Shlal Ir HaNidachas, all the property of an Ir HaNidachas has to be destroyed. What if you have kerbonos in an Ir HaNidachas? Okay, then they don't get destroyed because their property is Hektish, not the Ir HaNidachas. But what if it's Kachin Shai Rahamusa? Not the guy said Hare Zubola. He said Hare Alaiola. Right? He's responsible for Kachin Shai Rahamusa. Then the Gemara says, well, according to the Chachamim, then we don't have to destroy them because it belongs to Hekdesh, not to the person who lives in the Ir Nidachas. But according to Rav Shimon, Dover Gron Lamamadami, it belongs to the person who lives in the Ir Nidachas. What's that saying? Nothing happened to it yet. It's just sitting there. It's grazing very happily. What we're saying is even before any Nezik happens, it belongs to the person with a financial stake in it, not just the person who actually, or or shas that actually owns it. So that says very, very clearly that that it's a din in bialus even before any nezek happens, even if nezek never happens. Why? Because in our sugya, what do we say? That without lo yimatze, it wouldn't be considered your chametz. And here we say it is considered your property. Right? Before, nothing happened to it. If I live in near a dachas and I'm responsible for something, it's considered my property. If I'm just a Jew on Pesach time and I'm responsible for something without the gzeiras hakasav, it's not considered my property. And we have another case like this in Tosefta in Baba Kama. Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph in Tosefta, also says the same thing. It's a din and bialus even before Nezek happens, meaning even if Nezek never happens. Why? What's the case there? It says two things. If I have, the Tosefta says in Baba Kama, if I have Kachim Shchai Bachriyusan, Shor Shel Hekdish, Habaylim Chayim Bachriyusan, Habaylim Notlenes Nitzko, Venosnes Nitzko, the first half is no Chiddush. If I have a Shor of Hekdish, and I'm Chayim Bachriyus, and your animal damages my Shor, you have to pay me. Oh yeah, that's obvious. You damage my Shor, the Hekdish is Shor, but I'm the one who suffered the loss, because I'm the one who has to pay for it. Therefore, you damage me, that's everyone would agree with. But Nosnes Nitzko, if I have Kachim Shchai Bachriyusan, and the animal damages you, I have to pay for it. Why? Nothing happened to this animal, right? No nezik happened to the animal. The animal damaged someone else. Why should I have to pay for it? Sue Hektish. And once you sue Hektish, this potter is Reyehu Amarachman of Lo Hektish. The answer is no, I'm considered the owner of this shore, even though nothing happened to it. And therefore, I have to pay the nezik. Okay, so because it is considered my property, is all while intact. And I have to pay, not damage that happened to it, that even our government would admit, say, but I have to pay for damage it does. It's considered my property, and it's shlal, yira hanidachas, and here, it would not consider my property, and it's not bal yebraya. Again, until we have exerts a custom. Okay, flat out stira. This is the Ketosis famous question. Flat out stira machla between the sugyas. Whether davar gan l'mamon k'mamon dami. Right now, when it's sitting intact, it's like my money because I'm responsible for it. The force in Sanhedrin, the force in Tosefta Baba Kama. Or no, Mark Sachin. While it's sitting there, there's no davar gan l'mamon. It's not my property. Why should it be my property? I don't own it. If something happens to it, it's as if it happened to me. If it gets damaged, if I got damaged, like the Ravid says, it's part of Dina Dikarmi. So the question is how to resolve this stira. Okay, so what's the simplest, most trivial way to resolve a stira between sugyas? To say that. Say that it's a machlokes.
They argue.
Do it a little better. Say we don't paskin like one of the sugyas, right? We paskin like one sugya, not the other sugya. Can you do that? So there are achronim who want to say it's a machlokes. You could say it's a machlokes. One answer is it's a machlokes as sugyas, right? So one there is a machlokes as sugyas. One second. Aha. Okay, so you could go different ways, even though I don't have a course for all the ways. One way is to say it's a machlokes as sugyas. Either you could say, we paskin like the Tosefta in Baba Kama and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and here we don't paskin like the Ikka d'Amri. After all, it's the Ikka d'Amri. Who says we paskin like the Ikka d'Amri? If we don't paskin like the Ikka d'Amri, how would Rav Shimon explain our Brisa? Maybe Rav Shimon didn't write our Brisa. Maybe our Brisa doesn't work for Rav Shimon. Maybe Taka, according to Rav Shimon, will never go on the Mongamon. You don't need Lo Yimatze. And he's against our Brisa. He's a Tana. He doesn't have to be with our Brisa. You could say, we don't pass like Ikka d'Amri. I didn't find anyone who say that. It's possibly, you could think of that on your own. I did find the other direction. I mean, this is equally trivial. Or you could say, that we paskin like Arei Kedamri. Right? We paskin like Arei Kedamri. We paskin Dover Gon Lamaman is only a din in Hezek. It's a din that, it's like din in Degarmi. Indirect Hezek is Hezek. If I damage something that makes you lose money, I've damaged you. It has nothing to do with ownership. It's not a din of bias. Why would I own something that I don't own? Oh, what are the Gemara in Sanhedrin? So says the Gemara in Chayas. That we don't possibly like this Gemara. Okay, his Raya is very, very unconvincing. He says, why? Because one Amud earlier it says, if you're Makabalach Raya, that doesn't make it your property for your Nidachas. The reason that's so unconvincing is because that wasn't very Shimon. There. So that wasn't the one that we're going to learn. Who says that has to do with anything? But if you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin, then you'll see that this is, you know, it's always tricky. There's two deos there in Sanhedrin. There's two answers. The two answers are just a very technical issue of how to explain a certain line. Does that mean they also argue in substance of halacha, or they just argue how to explain the line? You never know for sure. But who's the one who said this in, did anyone look who said this? Which name person said this in Sanhedrin? Okay. It says right here that, sorry, let me just find it. Yeah. And it's Kachem Shaiba from your son, it's from Shimon who says Mamon Bailam. But Rabbi Yochanan said something else. He didn't argue on him, he just said a totally different shot in the Mishnah. But it's only Rish Lakshi against Rabbi Yochanan. Now, again, you could say it's Rish Lakshi against Rabbi Yochanan with the Pshat in the Mishnah. They're not arguing at Halacha. Or you say, no, the reason why they did Pshat in the Mishnah is because Rish Lakshi held this way, but Rabbi Yochanan held like Arsuya. We don't pass it like Rish Lakshi there. And because maybe Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, we can't prove that. If I was just reading the Gemara and said, Rabbi Yochanan happened to have a different shot of the Mishnah. It's not that he disagreed on Rish Lakish's longness, but it could be disagreed on the longness. And likewise, when it comes to those Sefta and Bava Kamma, you know, Toseftas are always tricky. Why are Toseftas tricky? They're written by Tanaim. That makes them better than Gemara's written by Amoraim. But because the Tosefta wasn't quoted in Shas, you're not sure how the Amoraim would have analyzed it. And if you look at the Mitzvah Shmuel on the bottom of the Tosefta there, he says, Ein Ramban Perakama should cost of Afler Show and Potter. Okay. Vekan, it doesn't seem that way. And then he quoted from, I'm not sure who he's quoting from, this test, Tophbiz, who, but he said that in the first perek, in the sugya of the Chasr Shein Ben Me'ila, it sounds like Ramban doesn't sound like the Tosefta. So what does he say? It sounds like there's a Gemara in the Ramban against the Tosefta. So you could also say, it's the Mitzvah Shmuel. Mitzvah Shmuel. We don't pass it. How do we know? We don't pass it like a Tosefta. What gives the right to argue on Tana? Like the Tosefta because of the Ramban. And what gives the Ramban the right to argue on the Tosefta? Because the Gemara. And the first parak doesn't sound that way. It's a diuk. There's a sugya of the Hashim and the Hektish. And they don't say in the case of Hektish is this Tosefta. It's an argument from silence, but it could be. So Lamaik said we have a chronim and old paskin like the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Tosefta in Bava Kamma. We have a possibility not paskin like our Gemara. So you could say it's a machlokes asugyas, okay, according to those achronim, really our Gemara wins. Or you could say not. That's one approach. The second approach is the Tzlach. What does the Tzlach say? What does the Tzlach say? How does he resolve the Stira? He says, our sugya is just a hafamina. Now, how do you read our sugya? This is a tricky part. I would not have read our sugya that way, I admit. What does our sugya say? Kamashma. Lo yimatze teaches you your chayiv by your abba yimatze. Right? Lo yimatze teaches you your chayiv. How would I have read our sugya? It's not within Dover Gangamon Kamamadami, but lo yimatze teaches you the chayiv of Pesach anyway. Why should Pesach be different than the general rules of Dover Gangamon Kamamadami? Well, for everything we've just been discussing about it, nothing to show Adam, it's all that rules of Yuma. Pesach is very different. But says the Tzlach, he says, no. Our sugya is midin dover gron lon kamon dummy. The fear of Shimon. According to the first Lashon, it says, Shimon says regular dover gron lon kamon dummy, and the Chachamim need lo yimatze. Ah, but according to the Iga Damri, Shimon also needs lo yimatze. No, it's not that he needs lo yimatze because dover gron lon kamon dummy doesn't apply. It's that he would think Davar Agron Lamon Kamam doesn't apply. Lo Yimatze teaches him that Davar Agron Lamon Kamam does apply. Lo Yimatze teaches you not that it's a separate din from Davar Agron Lamon. It's glowing mills that Davar, how did the Gemara Sanhedrin know that Davar Agron Lamon Kamam applies even before it gets damaged? They go by the soul of one from Lo Yimatze. Lo Yimatze teaches us Davar Agron Lamon Kamam. So he says, this is the Maskana. Says, no, this is only the Havamina, is that it's not Kemamon Dummy when it is Ben, but the Maskana is that Lo Yimatze teaches us the scope of Davar Agron Lamamon Kemamon Dummy. Okay, that's a big Chiddush in our sugya. That's the Tzlach. The Tzlach says, no. Our sugya in the Havmina thought Davar Agron Lamon Kamam is just like Dina Degarmi. It meant that indirect damage counts as damage. But through Lo Yimatze, we learn not just Vayu Lo Yimatze. Through Lo Yimatze, we learn Kol Tor Kula. Truth is, this would work better for the Raiva than the Rambam, let's say. If you understand that the rest of Vayu Lo Yimatze follows the normal Dina Yimonos of Kol Tor Kula, then this should also follow normal Dina Yimonos of Kol Tor Kula. So it's a binyan av. Just like Vayu Lo Yimatze, something that you were responsible for is like it's yours all along. So too, in Kol Tor Kula, it's like it's yours all along. And for Yudidachas, it's like it's yours all along. For pain, for the damage of the Nezik it does. For Nizkei Mammon, it's like it's yours all along, etc. Okay, so the Maskana of our Sugya is saying exactly the same thing as the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Tosefta Bava Kamma. That's the Tzlach. Again, I admit I wouldn't have read our Sugya this way. I would read our Sugya that the Maskana is something unique to Bayur Al-Yimatze, to Pesach, to Chametz. That's how we meet our sugya. Okay, but then comes the Kovach Shiur. It's not the only one. Obviously, this is... But the Kovach Shiur is right here, Al-Batar. The says the Kovach Shiur, no. There's Tzvi Dinim in... Right, he's a brisker. He says, no. There's Tzvi Dinim in Davar Agron Lamon Kamam Dummy. We had a stira, right? Basically, until I've been saying, one side of the stira is right, one side is wrong. Either we pass like those Gemaras, not our sugya, or we pass like our sugya, not those sugyas. Or we pass like all the sugyas, because our sugyas only have me, the Maskana agrees with those sugyas. Says, no, maybe they're both sides are right. There's Tzvi Dinim in Davar Agron Lamon Kamam Dummy. And he points out very nicely that there's two different cases of Davar Agron Lamon Kamam Dummy. There's Kachim Shechai Bachar Yusan, and there is Pikdonos, Minat Nachri, or Pikdonos in general, and all of those sugyas are kachim shchai b'achri yusan. Sanhedrin, those Tavakamas are kachim shchai b'achri yusan. Our sugyas are about pikdonos. I would add, again, I didn't like the Maariz Chai's proof in the first place, but if you go to the Maariz Chai's, the Maariz Chai says, what do you mean? Of course we're not going to pass like this Gemara and Kufya Beis and Beis, because it's a steer from Kufya Beis and Aleph. She says pikdonos. We don't say Davar Agron Lamon Kamam Dummy. What would Rochan say to the Maariz Chai? Say, what do you mean? You're mixing pikdonos and kachim shchai b'achri yusan? No. On Kufya Beis and Aleph, Sanhedrin, talk about pikdonos. That's one thing. There's a different din. And he makes a fundamental Tzvei Dinim. Right? What does he say? He says, Tzvei Dinim. What are the two Dinim? Here we're talking about Kachim Shechayav Be'achri Yusan. And that is Bailos Olam. That's the din of Bailos is over on the Olam Kamam Dami. But over here, we're talking about Pikdonos. Obviously, what kind of pikdonos? Pikdonos ba'achrayis, not pikdonos without achrayis. Pikdonos ba'achrayis, and we're talking about pikdonos ba'achrayis, then it's only the din in the nezek. Only when something happens to it. Meaning, if I take your pikdonos ba'achrayis, it's only gar l'mamon when damage happens, not until then. That's our sugya. And that's kufya beis and aleph in Sanhedrin. If the guy in the Irni Dachas has a pikdonos for me, that's not shlomdi or nidachas, because until something happens, so it's my money, not his. However, kachim shchai b'achri yusan, that's considered yours all along, if it's going on the moment. Why? He didn't say it's tzvei dinim, because mamash tzvei dinim. Like, two totally separate dinim for totally different makoros, totally different svaras, etc. No, it's two different levels. And he says something which is really very pashut. What does he say? He says, if... And this is, he says, it's the flip side of what he said for the Chachamim, which cut the other way, when it came to the Isser of Kabbalah Sacharias. he says that there's a fundamental difference between Kajim Shechai Bachar Yusan and a Pikadon. In a Pikadon, I'm responsible for your Pikadon. In what way am I responsible for your Pikadon? Do I have any rights in your Pikadon right now? No. I have no rights in the Pikadon right now. I just have responsibility if something happens to it. Right? So, right now, I have no rights, and this is not like my money. When something happens to it, I have responsibility. It's like I was damaged. It's like my money when something happens to it. Then it's my responsibility. It says the Kodim Shechar Yuchai Bachar Yusan are different. It doesn't mean that the Gizbar gave a Pikadon for me to watch. That's not Kodim Shechar Yuchai Bachar Yusan. Kodim Shechar Yuchai Bachar Yusan, I said, Harei Alai Ola. I owe the Beis HaMikdash an Ola. And then I mafresh this animal. I say, this should be my Ola. Right? And now Chai Bach Reis, if anything happens to it, I still own Ola. Explains Rav Elchanan. He says, hold on a second. In the case of the Kachim Shechar Bachar Yusan, right now, not like Pikadon, when it gets damaged, I'll owe you money. In the case of Kachim Shechar Bachar Yusan, I already owe Hekdish money. I said, Harei Alai Ola, I owe Hekdish and Ola. Right? Let's call it $100. I don't know how much it will cost. What kind of Ola? You know, let's call it I owe Hekdish $100. What happens? But as long as this sheep is alive, I can use it to pay my debt for Hekdish and I won't have to pay through another means. But he says, I already am using this money of Hekdish, says Rav Elchanan. I'm already using this money of Hekdish even before it gets damaged because I'm using it to pay my debts. Yes, he says, Sheyesh lo shtam shes b'chifetz l'fura bo'chovo sh'eschayv agdi nidro mikri b'ayin l'chifetz afil isa v'einin. When I accept the Pikadon from you, it only causes me enough mean of money when damage happens. But when I'm makdish kadim chayv achri yusan, it already caused me enough mean of money because I owed $100. And now that I have this sheep, I don't owe $100. So he says, very poshut. It's not going to say dinim. Not two totally different lumdish dinim. It's one principle. The principle is that whatever causes me to gain or lose money, at the time it caused me to gain or lose money, is considered like mine. The only difference is that pikadon only caused me to gain or lose money when it gets stolen. Kachim Shachar Yusan causes me to gain or lose money all along because I already owe Hekdish $100, and now that the sheep is here, it patters me for my $100 in Hekdish. Well, in a pikadon, I don't already owe you money. I don't owe you money until anything happens to it. So that is Rav Elchanan's Chah. It's just, it's very clever and very exceedingly convincing. Again, a gazillion achronim from the time Rav Elchanan say the same thing. You know, we're just not name dropping. I think in some fields it's famous in the name of the profession.
Isn't that Rav Chaim, Rebbe? Isn't that Rav Chaim in Hilchos Mi'ila? The first Rav Chaim there, he distinguishes between Kachi Bedek Abayis and Kachim and Kachim Chayav Bachar Yusan. That one is where the Kedusha, the origin of the Kedusha by Kachi Bedek Abayis is Dine Mamanus, and Lumat the Abalut on the Kachim Chayav Bachar Yusan comes from outside.
That is a famous Rav Chaim, I mean. But I'm not sure that's what's going on here. Here we're not mechalek between whether the Hekdish comes from the Kedusha comes from the Mamanus, or the Mamanus comes from the Kedusha.
No, but I'm basically saying that I don't have to transfer Baaluts because the Kachim Shechayav Bachar Yusan, there's no how, I'm the owner all along, Lemaisa. And I need.
Okay, that's a different word of Rav Chaim, that he's saying Kachim Shechayav Bachar Yusan, I'm really the owner all along. But keep in mind, Rav Chaim would say that even if it wasn't Chai Bachar Yusan, that's just in Kachim Zeyah Kedek Abayis. So I don't think it's interesting. It's important, but I don't think it's relevant here. Because that Rav Chaim is being Chai Bachar Yusan, being not in Chai Bachar Yusan. That Rav Chaim is an Altanai of Chai Bachar Yusan. That's a totally different word of Rav Chaim. How do you get that Rav Chaim to work with the Sugya of Chai Bachar Yusan? So you have to think about, you have to say over the Rav Chaim carefully, but it's not about this. That Rav Chaim is not about Chai Bachar Yusan. Okay, so what's he saying? That what he's saying, that really it is a din in bayis. Really, it's a din in bayis. But it only takes effect when It only takes effect when my fee of mammon exists. When does my fee of mammon exist? In pikadon mishas ibud. Only when the pikadon is lost do I have a fee of mammon. Until then, I have no fee of mammon. Right? V'haraya. We know the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph of Ksubos, right? If you give me something, whether it's Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, or Socher, or Shoel, in January, and it gets damaged, and I have to pay in July, I only owe you money from July. I don't owe you money retroactively from January. But of course, when it comes to Kadosh Chayim Chayusin, if I say, Harel, I owe in January, and then I mafresh this sheep in March, and the sheep gets stolen in July, I owe Hekdish money retroactively from January. The sheep in the chasim is retroactive. That's Pashim. So, Bikadim Yishas Ibad, but when it comes to Kadoshim, again, I mean Kadoshim Bikadim. Then it would be like the guy. I mean Kadoshim Chayim Chayusin, Yishas HaNeder. As soon as I make the Neder, I'm Chayim. So, therefore, it is, what he's saying is that Dover Gur Lamamun doesn't mean that it will be Gur Lamamun. Will be Gur Lamamun is not the Mamun Dami. Only if it's already Gur Lamamun, it's the Mamun Dami. Bikadon, like our sugya, it's not going the moment until something happens to it. Until then, it's just a potential. But Kadosh Nachar Yusin is going the moment right away because I already owe the money and it's pattering me for my debt. And therefore, I'm already an owner. And that makes a lot of sense. Bikadon, why am I owner of Bikadon? I'm just watching it. If something happens to it, then I'm the owner because I'm the one who has to pay for it. But Kadosh Nachar Yusin, I'm an owner all along. I don't mean I'm the only owner. It's also hectic. But I'm an owner all along. Why? Because I'm using it to pay my debts. If I'm using it to pay my debts, I'm an owner. Okay, that is, again, I don't think it's the same as Rav Chaim, even though it might bear some external similarity. That's the chap of Rav Chanan. I think it's a very, very nice hesber for the stew of Tini Sugyas. You don't need to be nidchak and say, we don't pass like this, we don't pass like that. You don't need to be nidchak like the tzlach and say, no, the kamashwan of Lo Yimotze is teaching us kol Torah kula, whatever Gur Lamamun Kamamun Dami means, which is not the pasuk from the sugya. You just need to say that there's two different, not two totally different dinim, the two different levels of Dover Gur Lamamun Kamamun Dami.
Rabbi, that's such a good svara. Why did the Chachamim argue?
Because the Chachamim think that it's only called ownership if you own something 100% in all. I'll say it better. Chacham think it's only called ownership if you can totally do what you want with something. And that's not true for Kadam Shachar Machuyusan. That's not true for Bikadon. They say ownership is about being able to use it for your purposes. And that's not true in any of these things.
Okay.
No, 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 this has nothing to do with the Rambam, because this is all, this diuk is in the language of Goliath the Gemara, what we would have thought before we had Lo Yimotze. Right? This is all what we would have thought if not for the Gzeiros HaKasav. The Rambam's after the Gzeiros HaKasav. Right? So the Gemara says, if not for Lo Yimotze, remember how we started. Without Lo Yimotze, the Rambam's with Lo Yimotze. And the Rambam's with Lo Yimotze, the uniqueness of the Chametz, it's different. We're saying, but this line was, if not for Lo Yimotze, we would have applied the normal rules and this is what would have happened. So, it's not connected. Okay. If there's no other questions, we'll go weiter. Okay, Rabosai, let us go weiter. Now the Gemara gets into a tangent. What's the tangent? Okay, the tangent is obviously, we're going to get back to Mechiras Chametz and similar things in the next sugya. But once we're talking about things that have like partial ownership of a Jew, partial ownership of a guy, we're not sure who we attribute them to, we're not sure which halachas apply. So then as a tangent, we get into this topic. Gemara Davav Amad Aleph, 22. The bo mine me rava behemas arnona, a behema of arnona is chayavas b'chora or in chayavas b'chora. A behema of arnona, is it chayav or not chayav in b'chora? Right, a Jewish behema, but a goyish arnona. So is it chayav in b'chora or not? At first blush, we say kol ha'ichu the matzim esalvli b'zuzei lo kamin b'aylei. The chayiv. If I could pay the guy with money, I don't have to give him animals. I could give him money. I give him money or animals. Then the animals are all mine. I just owe the guy a debt, which I could pay in kind or in cash. So obviously it's chayiv mechor. It's a totally Jewish animal. The question is, what if I can't pay the guy with money? I have to give him animals. So then, do we say that's goyish or Jewish? Amar lohu petura. Okay, end of Lishna, the Lishna Kama, the Gemara. That Rava said it's Petura because now it belongs to the guy. Okay, now here we get into, you know, this one, it's not directly along this point. But we get into the question of what does the word Arnona mean? What does the word Arnona mean? 1 second, let's just get the word. Okay. What does the word Arnona mean? So there are different pshatim what Arnona means. What does the word Arnona mean, and what's the case in our sugya? Right? What's the etymology? What's the case? Obviously, the case in our sugya might be relevant to the actual understanding of the sugya. The etymology is just a nice curiosity. But what are the three pshatim as to what Arnona means? By the way, what does Arnona mean nowadays? Property tax. Nowadays, Arnona means property tax. Okay, clearly it's not a property tax. No one says it's a property tax that you have to pay for your animals. That would be a little random. Why would there be property tax which you couldn't pay in cash and had to pay for your animals? Right? Okay, what are the three pshatim as to what Arnona is?
Rashi's tax.
Rashi says it's a tax. It is a tax on livestock. A melech notel iser min abhim min atfua. The king takes a tithe, right? Obviously, not that, whatever percentage he takes. In general, in those days, the tax burdens were much, much lower than they are nowadays, right? The tax rates in ancient times, in medieval times, were much lower than they are in the modern world. That's not because the modern world is more oppressive. It's because in the old days, you paid tax to the king and you didn't get any services in return. So the tax rates were lower because you were giving him free money. Nowadays, you pay tax to the government, and in exchange, the government is supposed to give you things, you know, like schooling and healthcare and police and, you know, whatever else, you know, sanitation, et cetera, et cetera. So the tax rates are higher. Okay, but those days, a tenth was a lot. So Rashi says it means a tax. Okay, meaning the guy has a tax. He gets a shutfus, which guy the king gets a shutfus because of the tax. Okay, what does Rabbi Chananel say? He says shutfus. The guy is a shutfus. Now, theoretically, if you wanted to, you could maybe say Rabbi Chananel meant. What did he mean by shutfus? By shutfus, he meant same as Rashi. A shutfus the guy has because of the Goyish king's tax. But that's not Pashup Shad and Reino Chananel, right? Reino Chananel just says, Pirish Behemish Yishma Shukvus Lenachri. It doesn't sound like he's saying that it's a tax. And even if, let's say, someone would want to be stubborn and say that, no, Reino Chananel, even though I think he means a regular Shukvus, but there are plenty of Rishonim who say he means a regular Shukvus, like the Reb Yosef in the middle here says, Arnonu Lashon Shituf, Dechsev Ki Arnon Gol Moa, Vikav Kor Kol Dabra Meshutuf, Arnona, etc. Right, nothing to do with kings, nothing to do with tithing. It just happens to be a Jew and a guy have a business deal together. Bechor, that's also Rabbeinu Chananel. The Aruch, Sefer Aruch, I didn't put on the Bechor, see, it's 2 days. That's what it's about our sugya. That's what it sounds like this first day. The period in the first day is
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi? When he says shutfus, I don't understand. The goy didn't buy the behemoth together with the Jew, it's the Jew's behemoth. How is it called shutfus? In what sense?
No, the guy and the Jew have a business together. They have business dealings together, and then from their shared funds, they buy an animal. I assume that's the case of shutfus, right? We have an investment, and from our investment, we buy an animal. People do that now also, right? Mutual fund, right? And they in those days, they had a mutual fund, me and the guy together, small mutual fund, and we bought an animal, let's say. Okay. Now, again, it's a little funny, meaning what a shutfus where you mutzi misalik bezuze is a funny kind of shutfus, right? I mean, if you say the tax, you can mutzi misalik bezuze. I mean, and I'm halach is the mitzias. Is it really true there's a shutfus where you can pay the guy money? But yeah, sometimes there is such a shutfus. There's a shutfus where I have the right to buy out the other partner, right? There's two partners. And, you know, I know nothing about the world of business, and I know exactly as much as I want to know about the world of business. But I assume that in business, you know, like I know in the stock market, you could buy a share of, you know, General Electric or Teva Pharmaceuticals or whatever it may be. There's more complicated things where people invest privately in things. There's all kinds of special mechanisms for selling a share. And I'm sure there are people who have these investors who buy a share in something. And sometimes that's not that here you're investing this much, but I can buy you out at a certain price, you know, or at the face value, you know, at the market value, whatever. Okay, so it's a weirdo kimta to say it's a shutfus, which is motzi masalik and lo motzi masalik, because most shutfuses are lo motzi masalik. But it could be it's a weird kind of shutfus. Okay, yeah. Weirder things have happened. So you could say it means shutfus. That is the rach, the real mill. The reason I brought the real mill is just, you know, someone say the rach really meant Rashi. He just meant a tithe and he called it shutfus. You see, there are other rishonim who really meant it, and the orach and the iri have that as their first day as well. Even though that's not their preferred daya, or at least not the Meiri's preferred daya. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, Isur Melech, that is Rashi. The Ran also says this in his first or second daya, whichever number. One second, I brought my... Morty Tarragon, of course. The Ran's probably here. Lashon Acher Shutva Sheish L'Melech BeBehemos. Okay, Shutva's Behemos means a tax. It doesn't mean the king invested with you, right? Which again, if you want to say Reb Chananel also means a tax of Rashi and say, after all, the Ran called Rashi's tax Shutva's, you can if you want to be stubborn and then you'll say, what does the Ran in his second day and the Meiri in his third day, etc.? Or what's the last shot? It's not a tax that the king takes a percentage of your crops like an income tax, rather. It's Sudas HaMelech, right? After all, as the Ran says, that in Lashon Yavan, it's Lashon Suda. Right? It's Lashon Suda in Yavan, and I'm going to speak Greek here. It's Lashon Suda in Lashon Yavan is our Nona. It means, what does this mean? And what's his big Raya? The Gemara Bava Basra says that which word in Tanakh means our Nona? The Gemara says,
Arnon.
No, Arnon. The Gemara Basra, not the Rishonim, says which word means Arnona? Halech, right? But it's talking about what the Jews are putter from and what nowadays. Halech is Arnona.
From Halech, okay. Yeah,
what does Halech mean? Yeah. Halech, again, I have no idea. Suda. I had a point in Aramaic well enough. But you think Halech means that the king is holy from Makom Makom. What happens if the king is holy from Makom Makom? Nowadays, if the president's holy from Makom Makom, he brings his entourage, and for the budget of the White House, they give him food, or he goes to a restaurant, and the budget of the White House pays. In those days, when the king was holy from Makom Makom, the law was that whichever Makom he went to, he could confiscate the food there, and they had to give him the food. That's Sudas HaMelech, right? Nothing to do with taxes. Besides the regular taxes, there was Sudas HaMelech. That's the first shot. And as the Ran says, Jeholich Makom Makom, where did you get that from? Halach Zuarnona in the Gemara in Bava Basra. That is the Ran's. That's the Ran's first shot. That's also Reb David's shot, and the Rashi's shot, and the Meiri's shot, and the Ritva's shot. So it could be Suda.
But isn't the simple meaning? But the Poshup. But the Poshup shot's a tax, isn't it? In Bava Basra's talking about a tax.
No, but that's also kind of tax. It's just not an income tax of a percentage. It's a tax. So when the king travels, wherever he travels, has to feed him. That's also kind of tax. I see a tax. These second ones are both taxes, right? Sudas HaMelech, this is the Ran in his first day. This is Rabbi David, the Rashba in the Shot, the Ritva, and the Meiri in his second day. Okay, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. This will indirectly affect what we understand the sugya. But I just want to talk a little bit where the word Arnona comes from. So all the shutvas rishonim, like the Aruch and the Rav Yonah Simon Nil and the Ran, suggest that it comes from Lashon of Arnon, the Arnon Vol Moav. Okay, it's a bit of a far out etymology. I mean, there's a lot of cities that are full of a lot of things. That doesn't mean they become nicknames for shutvas, right? But you never know. Meaning, if you go to an Oxford English Dictionary and ask, why do words mean what they mean? Sometimes they have these weird things. Oh, there's once some village someplace where there's something with something that became a nickname for it, right? So, okay, that's night being lost in Arnon. The other possibility is, Arnon Vol Moav, which is Lashon Shutfus, that can also explain, as the Ran says, the Easter Lamelech, because he gets a Shutfus in it. Not the Suda. The Suda is not a Shutfus. That just in case what he needs. But the more likely the more likely explanation is Polyzi says that Arnona Bloshon Yavon Suda, if you look in Jastrow here, he says, where does Arnona come from? It's an adoption of Arnona, right? Arnona's adoption of Arnona, he says it might be hinted because it has a remez of the Lashon of Arnon. Arnon is a form of Aron, which means a chest. And maybe a chest has to do with taxes, like you put in the chest of the king. But it really comes from Anona. And what is Anona? Anona is a, it's still an Italian word, ad hayom hazeh. In Italian, Anona means a ration, meaning Lashon Suda, your rations. It doesn't mean a party. It means rations. Your daily rations is called anona. In Italian, comes from the ancient Latin. Latin, Greek, they're all generally mixed up. And anona means the annual produce or the annual produce that someone had to, towns had to give the king. Like there was a guy in charge of anona in ancient Rome who was like, find the different provinces and made them give a portion of the annual produce to the to support Rome, support all the government officials in Rome. Anyway, that is the pasuk that it comes from. Obviously, which Latin root word? I mean, I just said. This is, I said the annual produce, right? Anona is from annual, right? Annum. It means the yearly produce because if you have a yearly tithe. Mm-hmm. So really, it started from yearly produce and then started to mean any food given to someone by someone, like a ration, etc. You know, in the Roman army, they called the rations given to the soldiers anona, even though it wasn't a yearly tithe. So it means whenever you have to give the government food, that became called, or you have to give someone food, that became called anona. Simple, that's okay. The simple shot is that anona is just a form of anona, influenced by the idea of arnon, which means like the king's treasury, from the Lashon of Aron. Okay, that's what Jastrow says. And I think that's what the Ran meant when he says Lashon Suda, Lashon Yavan. So it could be from the Latin Arnona. That would explain these two pshatim. From the Latin and even from the Italian, Anona, which means the annual tithe or rations given to the king. Which really could mean the annual tithe, could also mean the Sudas HaMelech. That could also be called Anona, because it came to mean all rations that are given to government employees or officials in ancient Rome. Okay, so we don't, you can never know for sure, although, you know, I think, I mean, Suda is in the run, I think the Latin derivation is probably more likely. In any case, that was a curiosity, it's just, and we know this English word, right? Because we still say, even if we're not fancy schmancy, and we don't say things like per annum, to impress our friends and relatives, we do say things like annual, which comes from the same root word in Latin. Okay, now the also something else we have to say, right? AD, also from annual, the years. Although we don't like to say AD for good reasons. Anyway, Viter. Okay, so the question is, what does it mean? Is it a tax you're giving to the king, or is it a shutfus? This is a big machlokes. Rabbi David and many other of, you know, if you see here, basically you're talking about Rabbi David, the Rashba, the Ritva, at least the Ran in both his deos, don't like the shutfus idea. They, you know, the Rishonei Sfarad, let's say, they really don't like the shutfus idea. Why don't they like the shutfus idea? A, later on, we'll talk about something of Maris Ayin. Oh, it looks like it's the Jews. It doesn't look like the king has a share. It's easier to have a share of Maris Ayin when it's only the king's share. Not everyone knows what the king's going to tax, etc. When his mom is Shutfus, they're not so convinced of Maris Ayin. Many people don't know Shutfus. Yeah, not such a strong taina. Say sometimes people don't know Shutfus. Their other taina is that sort of Me'ikaradin. They don't think that the fact that Matzi Masalikle should take away the bias of Shutfus is a tax, and you could pay in cash, then it makes sense that the king doesn't really own this, because you could pay in cash or in kind. So he doesn't really own it. If it's a Shutfus, even though you can pay in cash, does that mean the guy doesn't own it? Right? What do we just say here? If you could pay him in cash, then the guy doesn't own it. That makes sense for a tax, because the king doesn't own anything. You just owe the tax, and if you pay any way you want, then he doesn't own anything. It's just a debt, a whole biyama. But if the mamash is shutfus, even if you could buy him out, he still owns it meanwhile. So that is the big chiddush of these Rishonim, And that's why Rishon HaSfar rejected it. The big chiddush is that even if it's a real shutfus where the guy invested money, if you can buy him out, then he's not considered a bailim on this property. Okay, that's the big chiddush, and that's exactly, again, we're going to go back to two reasons for rejecting it. Number one, he didn't think there should be maris ayin in shutfus, which is, you know, not such a strong tie-in. You can always say, you know, you can draw the line of maris ayin whatever you want based on the next line of Gemara. The bigger chiddush is this is a chiddush ladina. What's the chiddush ladina? The chiddush ladina is that even is that shutfus mamish. Eino nefshav lebailos guy im yachol. Lasalko Beazuzi, right? The Mamon. That's a big chiddush. That even though he mamish is a half owner, he put up half the money. Since you could buy him out, it is not considered to be. It is not considered to be his. That is taka a big chiddush. We're not going to analyze this now. Perhaps you might say that it has to do with the nature of the tour of Akum. You know, is it that any involvement of Akum is a p'tur, in which case it's hard to say that Akum doesn't have a share here. Or is it that, no, if the Jew is not in full control, then the Jew is p'tur. In which case here the Jew is in full control because he has an option of, you know, buying out the guy and doing whatever he wants with it. So perhaps it might be a chakira in the nation of the p'tur of Akum. But we will, you know, we'll leave that just as food for thought for now. First, I wanted, yeah. No, I'm not necessarily comparing before to other areas of halacha. Maybe all the areas of halacha are together. It's considered shufas and kosher mishpat. But in terms of the Dine Yoridea, you know, we would say that it's still the Jew has a full shaychus here, and that you're chayiv. So, and that's what that's exactly what Rabbi David. This is Rabbi David's, or again, this is Rabbi David's main objection. I'm calling it his main objection. Because the other one is just about what's Maris Ayin. His main objection is that he disagrees with this Svara, right? He says that it's still considered Bailus Lugoy. Is that? It's still Bailus Lugoy. If you're going to say it's a tax, whatever kind of tax, he wouldn't care which kind of tax, I think. Then you say a tax that you could pay in a different way, it means he doesn't own anything. It's just a chov bialma. But if it's mamish, the guy put up half the money, then how can you say he doesn't own anything just because you could buy him out? You haven't bought him out yet. And therefore, this is a big chiddush. Agav, it could be, I'm not sure how to put this on the course, it could be the Rambam holds, like the Rabbeinu Hananel, not so crazy, if you had to pick in all this list who the Rambam is most likely to hold, like, based on statistics, the Rambam is generally more likely to hold like Rabbeinu Hananel. He got Masorah from Talmidei Rabbeinu Hananel. And the Rimilu Nil generally tries to follow the Rambam. But if you look here in the, it's a little bit cheating. If you look here in the Ein Mishpat, you would not necessarily know anything. But if you look up where it says in Ein Mishpat, what does the Rambam say about Behemoth Arnona and about Isas Arnona in the Mishnah Torah? Nothing. He leaves out Arnona Yamre. He never discusses Arnona in the Mishnah Torah. Why does he never discuss Arnona in the Mishnah Torah? It's a sugya here, right? There's two Lashonos. You have to figure out how he paskins, many different Pirushim. But he should say something. I don't know what he should say because I don't know who he holds like in the Machlokas, Ratzi, Rashi, Tos, and everyone else. But he should say something. Why does he not say anything about Arnona in the whole Mishnah Torah? Again, whatever he said would match one shot in the next lines of our sugya. Why is he not saying anything about Arnona in the Mishnah Torah? You can never know for sure. But But maybe the most likely reason is if he had Masor from Minchanan that are known to mean Shutvas, okay, it doesn't match the Latin derivation. Okay. Who says it has to match the Latin derivation? It could be from Arnon, or it could be from the third shot that we never thought of. Like, with language, you never know. There's no proofs. You know, language is not physics. You can't prove anything. Maybe he thought Arnon meant Shutvas, and he discussed he's just a Shutfen. He discussed the famous Shutfen. There are many sugs and shafts about Shutfen, and he already brought them down. If you look in the Ein Mishpat here, what does Ein Mishpat say? Where he discusses Behemoth HaShutfen and Isis HaShutfen. So it seems likely the Rambam agreed with Rabbeinu Hananel, not only because Rabbeinu Hananel, the real mill, are always closer to the Rambam than Rashi, the Ran, Rabbeinu David, and etc. But, and by the way, the Ramban, also in Baal Basra, says no way it means Shutfas, clearly means tax. But not only because, you know, the people who are closest to him said that way, which, you know, is not a proof, it's just like a hint, but because he leaves it out the gamre, and if Arnona was something different than Shutfas, he should have put it in. If Arnona was just Shutfas in a different word, sometimes he needs the word Arnona. Why? I don't know. Sometimes the word Arnona, if Arnona is just Shutfas with a fun, fancy word, then since he already discussed Shutfas, maybe he didn't have to include it in the Mishnah Torah. Okay, you can still ask why. Maybe there's some details here he should have put in, but because he leaves it out in Mishnah Torah, and that would be really inexcusable, unless it was Shutfas, in which case he already included it. It's still not a complete solution. Still, did he include every detail of Shutfas that's discussed here? You know, according to all the Pshatim? You know, you have to work it out. But at least it's a kivon. Okay, now let's go on to the Gemara. Let's learn the Mishnah Basra. Mishnah Kam is very simple. Let's learn the Mishnah Basra. Vatanya Chayeves. Okay, we didn't finish Lashon Kama. Hasa Motzi Misalik Klei. No problem. It says Chayeves. That's Motzi Misalik Klei. Ptur is when it's Lo Motzi Misalik Klei. Ika Da Amri Amar Rava. Behemoth are known as Ptur Minim Bechora. The Af Agav Motzi Misalik Klei. Behemoth are known as Ptur regardless of whether or not you can pay money. You're potter either way because the guy is a share. Isis are known as Chayeves Bechala. The Af Agav Motzi Misalik Klei. Isis are known as Chayeves. Either way. What's the difference between Behemoth and Isa? My Taima Behemoth Lakala. Isa less Lakala. Behemoth has notoriety. While the Isa does not have notoriety. Okay, according to our Girsa, what's the role of coal here? What difference does it make if it has a coal or not? What is the coal? In a behemoth, what do people know that in the Isa they don't know? In a behemoth, they know the king has a tithe in this behemoth. In an Isa, they don't know the king has a tithe in this Isa, because behemoths are more well-known, chashuv things, everyone knows what's taxable, what's not taxable. What has already been taxed, what hasn't already been taxed, let's say. In an Isa, it's a small thing that you make at home. You know, it's not such a big deal, and people don't know what the king's owns tithe, what he isn't, and therefore, it's Xer Drabban, and really, they should all be Al-Bidin Potter from Bechora and Chala Al-Bidin. Just be Drabbanan, it's Chayiv and Chala either way, because people will think it's regular Jewish Isa, and they don't realize that there's an Arnona. That is Rashi's pshat. Tosos rejects Rashi's pshat because, or Rashi's Gersa even, not because there's anything illogical about it, but because according to Rashi's Gersa, Behemoth is Patur from Bechor, and before Shtosefta, Behemoth is Chayevus in Bechor. Okay, Rabbi Tam defends Rashi and says, Rava didn't know this Tosefta. Yeah, which might be a nice way of saying Rava didn't hold like this Tosefta. Right, so it's not the end of the world. Again, it's Tosefta Nakud and Shas. You can't be sure whether or not it's authoritative. So Rabbi Tam agrees with Rashi. The Rush agrees with Rashi. There are many who agree with Rashi. And even the Ritva agrees with Rashi's Girsa, although it has a slightly different start. So you know, I'm going to need the whole board for this. So let me just... So, what is the Lishnah Basra of Rama here? The Ikedah. Right? So let's have Behema, meaning Chor, and Isa, meaning Chi of Chalba. Right? And within Behema, we have Matzi Masalik and Lo Matzi Masalik. Matzi Masalik and Lo Matzi Masalik. So what does Rashi say? Rashi, or Tam. Okay, that's good enough. Says Rashi, Tam, Behema is Potter either way. Potter, why? Because what, according to this, is the Din de Oraisa of Matzi Masalik Lay? What's the Din de Oraisa if you can buy out the guy? It still counts as buy this guy. Right? Still counts. It still should for sky, right? Buy the sky, should for sky, same thing. It still counts as buy the sky, even though you can, or let's call it should for sky. Fine. Buy the sky. It still counts as Gaius ownership, even though you can buy him out. That's the Din D'Oraisa. In which case, it's against the Lishna Kama. Right? We're rejecting Lishna Kama. You're allowed to reject Lishna Kama. Right? And what's the role of, well, and what about Isa? Isa is either way Chayav Midrabanan. Chayav Midrabanan. Because the coal, what is the meaning of, who care, what is the meaning of coal? Coal for Rashi means whether people know that the guy has a share. Right? So if people don't know the guy has a share, it's highly garbonic, so it looks like purely Jewish. That is Rashi. He's against the Beforsh Tosefta because he says, Behema is Potter B'chomikra. And the Tosefta says Behema is Chayiv, at least in some case. Okay, so Rabbi Tam says, Seder, Rabbi's allowed to be against the Tosefta. Right? Not every Tosefta has to be authoritative. Okay, here we have, I'll point out, the Ritva. And, okay, there's also the Meiri in his first shot. I think that was the Rabbi, but that was the Koros, the Meiri, if I'm not mistaken. In brackets at least. Okay, the Ritva and the Meiri in his second shot have the same Girsa, but a totally different idea of Kol. Right? Same Girsa. Let's call it 1.1. 1.2, the Ritva, and then the Iri in his second shot. Same exact Girsa, meaning Potter, Chayav. The only difference is, and same, because we the Oraisa, even if you could pay off the guy with money, he still has a share. You can buy out his share, but he still has a share. So you're still part of the Oraisa. Well, what is the difference in coal? Is coal because of Maris Ayin? What does the Ritva say? Exactly. Chayav Medina. And what does kol mean? It doesn't mean whether people know that the guy has a share in Shemar Sayin. It means whether the king knows that it exists. What's he saying? Buy a behemoth, your potter, because the king knows it exists. It has a kol. Whether you can buy him out or not, he has a share in your animals. He gets a tenth of your animals. Maybe you can give money instead, maybe not, but he has a tenth of your animals. But by Isa, theoretically, Alpidin, he has a tenth of your animals. But I grew up in Brooklyn. I know there's a difference in theoretically what you owe the government and what the government knows. Theoretically, how's the king going to know what Isa is where, et cetera, et cetera? It's too hard for the king to keep track of. And therefore, the odds are that he won't end up collecting. If the odds are that he won't end up collecting, then there's a threat that he might take, but you can't say the shutfas of a guy, and therefore it's the same gear, says Rashi, but the lack of coal is not a Maris Ayin Durabanan problem. The lack of coal is an Alpidin Chor D'Oraisa issue, which is that if the king won't collect his tax, then a tax that's not going to be collected is not a tax. Okay, that's Rashi. Interesting question. What about Dina D'Malchusa Dina? After all, just because you're going to gazel the king doesn't mean that the king doesn't have ownership. So that is an interesting question. Well, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says an Isser. That's a kitzvah. That's a fascinating question. I guess you have to say one of two things. Either you have to say that, you have to say one of two things, I think. Either you have to say that even though Dina Malchus Adina, you don't have to pay your taxes, because there are some Achronim who write that Dina Malchus Adina, but of course Alvasa is Motor, so you don't actually have to pay your taxes, and maybe even though Dina Malchus Adina, that doesn't mean that he really halachically has the right to it, or that doesn't mean he has an absolute right to it. That just means if he takes it, it's okay. But it doesn't mean that he has the lechatchila right to it, which is a chiddush. Or maybe you have to say that the Dina Malchus Adina is just, that Dina Malchus Adina wouldn't make a shufas akum, because he hasn't collected it yet. The Dina Malchus Adina means he can collect it, not that he already owns it. And therefore, even within the Dina Malchus Adina, it doesn't mean that he owns part of everything. It means he has the right to collect part of everything. But Lemaisa, if he has the right to collect, but he's not going to collect, that's not considered shufas akum. Yes. No. If the giving king has the right to collect it and he's going to collect it, that's a shud for Zaka. The king has a right to collect it, but he's not going to use that right. No. I would say that even though Alpidina de Malchusadina, he has the right to collect it. It's not his yet. And we only consider the level of Shutfas Akum if he has the right and he's going to use that right. Meaning, that's what's tricky here. Meaning, if you don't say like the Reina Hananel, it's just the right to tax. It's actually fascinating. Why would Reina Hananel say Shutfas? Why wouldn't he say a tax? After all, the Halach Zarnona, right? The Gemara Babas and Avches Dar says Halach Zarnona. Halach is definitely a tax, right? So if in Sefer Ezra, Halach is known as a tax. Halach, Mando, below. Right? Three kinds of tax. And below, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's still a tax amount in the Hebrew, but it's a tax on Masadina or something. Okay, then it was something else. The Gemara says what it is, a head tax, this tax, and that tax. He's talking from taxes in the Pasuk. Arnona is clearly a tax. So what does Rabbi Hananel say? He says, no, Arnona means a tax, but it means a tax because it means shutfus, and tax is the kind of shutfus, and here it just means shutfus. Why do you say here it means shutfus? Let Arnona be a tax. Whether you say it's one kind of tax, the other kind of tax, it might be an income tax, it might be a suda tax, you know, but why would you say that it doesn't mean a tax? Rabbi Hananel might say, because no, a tax is a chov, not a bitus, right? A chov doesn't hatter you necessarily from mitzvos, from challah and bechor, etc. A chov only bitus would going to hatter you. Degan chov lo degan akum. So what I'm saying is that it could be Rabbeinu Hananel would say, I don't know, it could be say taxes never hatter you. Tosos talks about the fact that he could collect it pottering you in that first Tosos. I don't know, that's only if it really belonged to him in the first place. But it could be like this. What I'm answering is this, is that the status of a tax as bitus akum. Forget Dina Malchus Adina. Dina Malchus Adina means the king has the right to collect it. But he hasn't collected it yet. Is it already his? Just Dina Malchus Adina means he can collect it. But he didn't collect it yet. Is it already his before he collects it? No, that's the whole point. That's the Chiddush of the Ritva. The Rabbeinu Hananel was saying, until he takes it, it's yours. The fact that he's the right to take it is in the future. And everyone else would say, no, the fact that he has the right to take it gives him a shutfus now. And the Ritva would say, well, does the fact that he has the right to take it make him a shutfus now or not? That depends. If he has the right to take it and he's likely going to use that right and it's practical for him to use that right, that makes that right already concrete now. If he has the right to take it but it's not practical to use that right, then we don't view it as already existing now. So it could be even though Dina Malchus Adina means he has the right to take it. But since he hasn't taken it yet, Rabbeinu Hananel would say he has no shutfus at all. Other Rishon would say he has full shutfus. And the Ritva would say, no, it depends on the practicality of the right to take it. That's how I'm explaining the Ritva. Sweet.
We just have the fact that he's just technically
Okay. So
I'm just technically barring you from fully having it, but it's nothing to do with official bylaws on the record. So therefore, that could.
Okay, good. So I want to get back to that. I want to get back to that, although, you know, the odds are getting.
Yeah, this question. The whole point is that Yan Makri Ba'emsa, but pragmatically, it's not Ba'emsa. That has nothing to do with, we don't care about the technical DNA bylaws. That's not what we're talking about. I point to anyone who thought it remained allowed.
Okay, correct. I do want to get back to that and that us. Although the odds are getting slimmer and slimmer that we'll get to that today. So let's at least try to get through the Gersos and the Gemara today. What are the other Gersos in the Gemara? Says Tosos. He says that he wants to have a Gersa almost like Rashi. The Ran says the same thing. I don't think the Ran wrote the Torah sheet. Says Tosos on the Daf. And the Ran, he says almost like Rashi. Just he wants to get the Tosefta's work. The Tosefta says Chayiv by Chala and Chayiv in Bechor. For Rashi, it's Chayiv in Potter. So what does Tosos say? Tosos says, no. It, rather, what's the Gersa? It's formed to Garsi. He doesn't make it up. He found such a Gersa. This also would make the Lishna Pasar agree with the Lishna Kama, which it doesn't have to. You know, it's a, but he doesn't even have to. He says, no. Matzi Masalek is Chayot. All Matzi Masalek is Potter. Fundamental difference to a Raisa. Right? If you can pay him off, that's called by Lishna Pasar. Right? And what do we find by Isa? If it's Matzi Masalek, then it's obviously Chayot. Even if it's low Matzi Masalek, it should be Potter. But it's Chayav Midrabanan because of Kol, and Tosos would say the same shot is here. Kol just means people don't know it belongs to the guy, and therefore they think it's yours, and it looks like it's Chayav and Chala, so you have to take off Chala. Right? That's Tosos' shot. The difference in him and Rashi is just on the fundamental Daraisa question, if you could buy him out, does he have a share or do you own it all? That's the Machlokas. The Rashbam quoted in the other Bali Tosos. Who did I put here? I put Tosos Rush. Tosos ring parrots. The Rashbam is, notice how Tosos said here. And it's sometimes you don't understand what Tosos is doing until you read the other Bali Tosos. He says, and likewise by Isa, it says, Chayiv and Chalim Tosefta. Why does he have to say likewise by Isa, it says, Chayiv and Chalim Tosefta? Everyone agrees, there's no other Gersa. Everyone knows it says Chayiv and Chalim Tosefta. Why do you need to bring that Tosefta? So it's clear if you look in the parallel Tosos, Rosh, Tosos, Shatz, etc., because he's coming to disprove the Rashbam. He knew there was a Rashbam. In our Tosos, he didn't bother to mention the Rashbam. He just said, well, you can't say that because of this. What did the Rashbam say? The Rashbam had the exact opposite Gersa of Rashi. Says the Rashbam, Potter. No, that's not the opposite of Rashi. Sorry. Says the Rashbam, the exact opposite of Rashi, Chayav, Potter. Exact diametrical opposite of Rashi. And that's why Tosos has to say, I don't like Rashi, because there's a Chayav Tosefta by Bechor, and also there's a Chayav Tosefta by Chala, which I'm not even going to tell you there's a Rashbam, but therefore you shouldn't think that the Rashbam hasn't read yourself. What's the Svara of the Rashbam? The Svara of the Rashbam is that fundamentally, whether it's Masi or Lo Masi Masalek, by this guy and Potter. Fundamentally, you're Potter. If the guy gets a share, whether you have to give him the share or whether you can buy him out with money, the guy owns a share, you're Potter. So why are you Chayav in Behema? In Behema, you are Chayav. Midrabanan. Because of the coal. As opposed to everyone else said, a lack of a kol is a cause for chiyuv, whether drabanan or whether even me'ikra din, according to the Ritva. He says, no, the kol is a cause for a chiyuv. How is kol a cause for a chiyuv? Right? What does the Rashbam say? How is kol a cause for a chiyuv? So says the Rashbam, Rashbam, he says, it's also good to Maris Ayin, just the opposite kind of Maris Ayin, right? Perish Gabi Behemek Sheyolda is Lakalo Shu Bechor Lo Yodu Kuliyam Shmar Nobi Shli Patu Isa Les Lakalo Lo Yodu Kuliyam Lo Hifrish Ben Ochala. Whether people know that you are eating it without Hafrasha. Buy a behemoth, there's a kol. Everyone knows your cow had a bechor. And everyone sees you're going to eat this cow, or better yet, you're going to work with this cow, right? Hook it up to a plow without being matish it, right? Let's say using it, right? Because eating it is not so nicker. After all, maybe they'll think it's a monk, but if they see you working with the bull, then they'll say, "What do you mean?" The coal is for everyone else, but it's not the coal the guy has a share. It's the coal that you have it. If I need dough and I don't take challah and I eat it, there's no coal. Who's going to see that I'm eating without challah? But they know whether I was not for challah or not. They know if I took off a tiny bit and burnt in the fire or not. How do they know? But if a bechor is born, and everyone knows the animal is born, and they see that I hooked up to a plow, they know I'm violating or shear the sheep or whatever it may be. And therefore, no one ever knows our nona. Both by Isa and by Behema, no one knows that it belongs to the king. The question is, they know that it exists and that I'm using it in the first place. Bechor, they don't know about the king. They see me using this bechor, so it's Marasayim. By the Isa, they don't know it belongs to the king, but they also don't know that I'm eating it without challah. So there's no Marasayim. That is the pshat of the Rashbam. And the...
But everybody knows there's taxes. Everyone knows there's like tax. Why not? Everybody knows. The whole world knows.
Okay, so this might depend on two things. First of all, it might depend whether it means shutfus, income tax, or suvas hamelech. If it's shutfus, everyone doesn't know. Even if it's suvas hamelech, everyone doesn't know which food someone is hired to give for suvas hamelech. If it's tax, you might say, everyone knows about taxation. First of all, it's not true. Some people are chayiv in tax, some people are patur in tax, right? If you look in the history of, I know nothing about taxation whatsoever, but if you look in any history books, what was always going on, the king was patring this guy from tax, and chayiv that guy in tax, and you even read the Agadas and Shas, and, right, you know, if you read the Agadas of the Goyim, they all end with, and they lived happily ever after. If you read the Agadas and Shas, they all end with, and the king patred the city from taxes. So it wasn't so posh at what was chayiv in tax, what wasn't tax, not to mention the fact that maybe you don't know what was already tithed and what wasn't tithed, right? Do you know which animal it was born before you gave a tenth to the king, so the king still had his share, and which animal was born after you gave a tenth to the king? The king didn't have a share anymore. These things are very subtle, so that doesn't bother me. Okay, that's the Rosh Hashanah. The fourth shot is the Tosfos Bein Haperetz. The Rosh and Chala mentions many Sfarim have this Girsa, and he didn't like it, but the Tosfos Bein Haperetz here. Like this Girsa. This is the last Girsa that I know of is the Tosfos Bein Haperetz. Says the Tosfos Bein Haperetz. He says here, Kasha, etc., etc. Lachein Nira de Garcina, Isis Arnona Ptur, Vahudulo Matsi Misalakle. Vadikhtan Hayevas, I know Hayev Matsi Misalakle, Kafarish, Yushalmi, Mishem, Yamalek, my time, etc. It's almost like Rashbam with one change. This is Hayav, but within Isa, it depends if it's Matzi Masalik or low Matzi Masalik. If it's Matzi Masalik like Mesuze, then you are Hayav. If it's low Matzi Masalik Mesuze, you're a potter. Meaning, he's saying, Be'ikaron, I'm on Tosfos' side. The fact that I can buy him out is still called Bilas Yisrael and Hayav, Alpidin. Right? The Dindo Raisa, the fact that I can buy him out, I'm still Hayav. So, in challah, we use the daraisa. I'm chayav alpidin if I can buy it out, because it's all mine. I'm patur alpidin if I can't buy it out, because he has a share. When it comes to behema, then this chayav is only mitrabanan because of kol. If the behema I can buy it out, that's chayav daraisa. But if I can't buy it out, then, and here, he has the same shot as the Rashbam. That's what means like the Rashbam in terms of kol. The lack of coal is not the Marasayan, the coal is the Marasayan. Okay, these are the four pshatim in our Gemara. What do they argue about? They argue about two things. Number one, there's only two shitas. Matzi Misalik Mezuze, fundamentally on a Daraisa level, counts as mine or counts as his. That's the difference. Pshat 1 and 3 says it counts as his. Pshat 2 and 4 say it counts as mine. And then there are three pshatim. You know, if you exclude the Ritva, there's two pshatim, right? If you take out the Ritva, there's two yourselves, which are just a combination of two sheets is Matz Mitzalik and two pshatim on coal. There are three pshatim on coal. Is coal a reason you're chayav drabanan? Because everyone knows that it was born and that I'm using it. Is lack of coal a reason you're chayav drabanan? Because no one knows it goes to the king. Or is lack of coal a reason you're chayav midoraisa? Or a din? because the king's not going to collect it. Anyway, those are the three deos. Okay, what we didn't get to discuss is the question of the Shurashva. The fascinating two questions dealt with by the Shurashva. So we'll have to, we'll have to remember this board. We'll have to come back next time and just briefly, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the details here, because I want to move on back to Psachim, but briefly discuss the two questions, fascinating questions brought up by the Shut Rashba, in terms of the stira between the Yerushalmi and our Sugya in terms of our Nona, and the stira between the Mishnah and Chala and our Sugya in terms of Shutfas, and with that, maybe get into a little bit of the lumdus of the nature of Shutfas, and a little bit of the lumdus of, which we kept hinting to again and again, of the nature of the Ptur of Shutfas Akum from various Yoredea halachos, and as Yaakov or someone brought up, you know, are all Yoredea halachos woven from the same cloth or not? So we'll start briefly with that next time, Yerush Hashem, and we'll go on to start the next Makoros, the beginning of Sheet 23, we'll say, we're going to do the Gemara from the next line of the Gemara, Tana Rabbana Nachash, Tikosho, Chatzirah Shel Yisrael, back to hardcore Bal Yorah Bal Yibate, until Mivdil B'Dili in Shemine. Not until Mivdil B'Dili in Shemine, until Mivdil B'Dili in Shemine. You'll see that's the natural Sugya, with Rashi, with Tosfos, with the Ramban, with the Rush, with the Ramban, with the Rush, and with the Tosfos Rid. And that's enough to get started on. The Gemara told Mivdil B'Dili in Shemine with Rashi Tosos, Ramban, Rush, Tosos Rid, and then I'll send the rest of the course to Mirza Shem later, and I wish everyone a good Yontif and a good Shabbos.
Question?
Questions, of course, feel free to ask.
Is that the whole discussion about ownership versus relationship, does that at all relate, like the question when they would sell a CD and said, you know, not for use on Shabbos? Is it a total ownership, or is it keeping back some of the ownership?
I don't think so. That's the question of, can you split up ownership into different pieces, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can clearly split up ownership into different pieces. There's such a thing as shutfus. There's such a thing as dekalirosav. There's such a thing as kinyan peiros and kinyan agof. The question is, into what level of pieces can you split ownership? And even more so, I think that's not the real question by the CD. The real question in the CD is, can you only have ownership over a concrete object, or can you also have ownership over an abstract object? That's the deeper question, which it's a combination of those two questions. How finely can you split ownership of a concrete object, and how much ownership can you have on an abstract object, especially if it's connected to a concrete object? That has nothing to do with here. Here the question is, do we care about ownership, or do we care about your experience of the chag? Is the problem by your like what you own, or is the problem your experience of Pesach, that you are not experiencing a chametz free Pesach, you are experiencing a chametz dik Pesach? So I think it really is a here it's a different question than over there.
So any level in this case, in our case, any level of ownership might be considered sufficient.
Correct. That's what I
would say. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Good
job, sir. Hey, Lamar.
Okay. Rebbe, somebody asked. Rebbe?
Yes.
Yeah, this is the difference in modern society, certainly in Israeli society and American, between Masach Nasan Mam. When we collect Mam, it's not our money to begin with.
I'm not convinced of that. I'm not convinced of that, and I'll tell you why. Because mom is not our money to begin with.
Does not belong to us. It's the government's money.
I don't think that's true at all. I think it's a tax the government levies on the seller.
I don't believe so. I don't believe that once the mom is collected, for sure, that is the government's money. We're a shliach for the government.
Interesting. You're saying once it's collected, it's the government's money. Yeah, but I wonder, maybe the same is true of income tax. Let's say...
No. Income tax is different because income tax is not determined.
Use the word collected. Imagine that you abandoned your regular clients and started working for organizations. And then they would say, well, you need your paperwork. You need your, we need to see your paperwork. And if you charge us 1,000 shekel, we have to withhold, 330 shekel for income tax or 300 shekel for income tax, whatever it
is. That's true. That's true. Unless you
it belongs to the government right away. So whenever someone collects it, it belongs to the government.
You just have to show the appropriate paper that they stopped collecting mas b'makor. That's all you have to do.
What you're saying is that income tax you
pay later. But mom doesn't work that way.
Income tax you pay later. Mom, as we know, al pi halacha, which you know because you're an oseik and I am not. But mom actually has to be passed on to the government immediately.
Yes.
Whatever
amount of time you have.
Yeah, even sometimes before the cash enters your hand. Right? It's not even an excuse to
could
say.
Be, yes.
Not even an excuse to say the cash didn't enter my hand yet.
Correct.
Arrange your affairs.
Also correct.
Yes. For example, if I sell you something and I say you could pay in installments over 20 years and you only pay me 5% now, I still have to hand over the entire amount to the government. Interesting.
I'm not sure if you have to always hand over the entire amount right on the spot.
That's what I was told. In any case, I hear your time now. Yes, there are different kinds of taxes, and that's part of what's going on here. And, maybe I'm going to see if I can get some, more makoros that clarify this and that are magder it very, very precisely, because I really think that's what underlies, one of two things is underlying the shutfus versus tax machlokas here. Either they're arguing about whether it could possibly be shutfus that's going on here, or they're arguing about whether it could possibly be tax that's going on here, meaning why does the Rach reject the more obvious possibility? I think what I said before, because he thinks that tax never belongs to the government until they collect it. And once they collect it, there's nothing to talk about. Once they collect it, of course, a bunch of from Bechor, they collected it.
They took it.
Yeah, but until they take it, it's just like I owe a guy money. If I owe a guy money, then that doesn't mean that I'm not... Chayv and Bechor, according to... let me think about this a little more and see if I can get a better Hagdara. We'll come back to that.
Shkoyach.
Okay, it does tie into the Shut Rashba and the Kobashirim, but I'm going to see if I can get a better Hagdara as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well
done. Rebbe.
Yes.
From the beginning of the show, I looked in Rav Lichtenstein's the Shiurim of Rav Lichtenstein published by the Gush, and on page 164 and 165, he does answer Davar HaGavra on the moment based on Reb Chaim.
I'll check it out. I remember.
I know. Basically, he was that since that Davar HaGavra, where you have partial bailus to start with, which is kochim shiesh by machrayus, where you have partial balus that Rabbi Hagor Mamun is enough to make you chayiv, where you have no balus at all, it belongs to the goy or to kochim bedek abayis, then Rabbi Hagor Mamun is not enough to give you.
I hear what you're saying.
He said that it's on 164, 165. I had it in my notes, but this is better than the way they have it.
Now I understand what you're saying. Now it makes sense. Okay, I just didn't cop how it was coming together before. That is a very good vart. Okay, I read it in the Sefer, but I just didn't properly assimilate it. Now I understand what you're saying. I'm going to go back and look at it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I've been saying this all along, but now I understand you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, good Shabbos.
Hey, Lamar. Hi, Irv.
Rabbi, one question about buying someone out. I mean, typically both partners can buy each other out. Does that mean there's no bailus?
That is a great question. You see, that might depend on... This is a hakir we discussed when we learned Bechoros. is the mechayav Bailus Yisrael or is the Ptur Bailus Akum? You know, because if you're going to say that we're really talking about who has Bailus, then you're going to say, if I can buy you out, I have Bailus. And you know what? If we can each buy each other out, we both have Bailus. Not so crazy.
Right.
But if you're going to say that it means the guy doesn't have Bailus, then it's ridiculous. If there's shokos, they can both buy each other out, neither has Bailus. That can't be. Then I guess you just have to say that, you know, oh, that's different. They can both buy each other out and cancel each other out. But then it gets a little up here.
Right.
Correct.
All right. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Okay. Have a good day.